her leaving games to open loot boxes, which would break the group,
Oh my God.
And then we would have to leave our game, all five of us, so that she could rejoin so we could get it. And then she had just started playing, so every loot box, which is every two games, she had to leave. I was like, okay, I got to go to bed.
Wow. Yeah. Well, she didn't buy any loot boxes, so she's got to be excited for all of the loot boxes.
I brought it up, and she goes, no apologies given. And that I respect.
That's true.
Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the DL Gaming Podcast. I am here with Chad.
Hey.
Chi.
Hey.
Emilio.
Hello.
And myself, Bobby. Chad and Chi. I never said it like one after the other, but a lot of ch sounds right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So before we get started, we're going to get like right into the games this time. But before we do that, we're going to talk a little bit about our Chad. You've got a highlight reel from last week we're going to play, right?
Yeah, we did this last week and it went off pretty well. So we're doing it again this week. This is just clips from last week. This is what happened last week. So without further ado, let's just get into it.
Last week on the podcast, we learn what Emilio does on a Saturday night.
That's where me and my octopus hentai RPG group get together.
Yep.
Oh.
Full costumes, too. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
He plays the octopus, by the way.
Wow.
We also learned what she does on a Saturday night.
I can always handle wood. You can never have too much.
That's true.
Bobby reflects on the sanctity of marriage.
As soon as you get married, you just completely lose interest, apparently.
That's why, we don't do it.
Weird.
Chad once again has problems forming words.
But I did a little clip of that the system somehow put together. So the system put together a little clip. So if you didn't catch last week's episodes...
We heard Emilio make noises.
And he's just like ripping shit apart. I'm like, yeah!
And lastly, we heard Chi audition to be the new introduction girl.
Dun, 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 John Cena!
So that's what happened last week's episode. So if you didn't manage to catch that one,
I recommend
it.
All right.
Cool.
So we're going to talk about games coming out this week. Wow, Mirror's Edge Catalyst. Already?
Yeah, yeah. So we're doing it. I'm going to try it a little different this week. Last couple of times we've done this, we ended up talking about games we never even played for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to try to keep this tight. So I'm going to just read this description as quickly as I can, and then you guys basically can just say yes or no and why.
Is this your description?
This has been pulled from several reputable sources online.
Okay.
So, well, Mirror's Edge Catalyst, I think everybody knows what that game is.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I wanted to point out is it's a reboot, which I didn't realize, and it's also open world. It's not levels how it was previously.
That's awesome.
And the other thing is combat's still a thing, but they removed any... You can't use guns in this game in any way.
Yeah.
So all you can do is disarm. Apparently last... game I didn't remember, but last game that you could actually use guns.
Mm-hmm.
So Mirror's Edge Catalyst, let's go around the table. Yeah, that's a yes for me. I like the first Mirror's Edge. I'm excited to see what they did with this one.
With this one, I would say definitely yes too. With Mirror's Edge, there's very little that you can do to complain about the game. It's so unique on its own, and
yeah.
I'm actually very excited that they took away the shooting. It was almost mundane. If they could make it more streamlined and anything turned into from a streamlined game to open world has usually found positive success and positive review from anyone that's played it. So I think they've made some big staple moves.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's done well, we'll all find out it's something I look forward to.
That's a smart statement. I think that's happened a lot of times where I think they learn so much from making the first for single player linear storyline. They learn a bunch about their character and about all these things. And then you can open it up to an open world on the second one. I think you're probably better off than jumping into an open world the first time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think because you haven't built a foundation yet.
So is that a yes or no for you?
Since you're getting it, that means I'm getting it. So, yeah. Okay.
Bobby, you didn't like this when you played this before?
No, when I played the beta, I didn't really care for it. So I'm going to have to say no.
All right. Next one up is Hard Reset Redux.
Get
back to the screen I want.
I need to interject here. Okay. Mirror's Edge has a TV show coming up.
Oh,
no
does it?
Way.
Oh, yeah, I think I heard about that.
Yeah.
All right, Hard Reset Redux. So
Olivia Munn, main actress.
That would be good.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if she's athletic enough, though.
We could never get enough Olivia
she
Munn.
She pulled off the Psylocke, so.
I really wish.
She in? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's her?
If I were born Olivia Munn, life made.
You want to date Aaron Rodgers?
Did you see her stuff? Did you see her stuff from the Fappening?
I did not.
What is that? The Fappening?
You don't know what the Fappening is? The day the internet stopped?
Oh my goodness.
That was when somebody hacked the cloud and posted up pictures of all these celebrities.
Spooky Ghost, his name is.
Oh wow.
So like a bunch of like nudes and a bunch of like different things.
Yeah.
She was on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't nudes.
Tastefully
it was,
done.
It was her notes to her boyfriend that were just like, oh
that's
my
great.
God.
I like tasteful nudes or partial nudes.
Well, don't look up Jennifer Lawrence then.
Yeah.
Not
she,
tasteful.
She got the worst one.
Yeah. Really?
She got the worst one.
NSFW.
Yeah, definitely so. All right, back to the games coming out this week. The next one up was Hard Reset Redux. So Hard Reset came out in 2011. Two expansions came out. This one is a compilation of it's a first-person shooter modeled on such games as Quake and Unreal, which results in more of a straightforward gameplay. It's a first-person shooter, obviously, but it's a cyberpunk plot, which draws inspiration from a lot of the cyberpunk of the genre. But it's pretty much a straightforward single-player shooter.
I'd have to see it. I've never heard of Hard Reset.
Okay.
Neither have I.
You know, first-person shooters based so much more on graphics. Like, you could play a platformer that looks like a bunch of pixels and have fun, which I do, like Downwell. But a first-person shooter needs to look fantastic for me.
Well,
to
it looks
it
pretty good days. From the screenshots I've seen. Which is one of the reasons why I included on this, because I really thought it looked amazing. And it kind of has this thing where you don't get a bunch of different types of guns. You get two guns that you have throughout the entire one, but you get different additions for the guns and unlock different modes for the guns. So you're always using these two guns, but they just act and perform in different ways.
Kind of like Space Pirate.
My biggest concern is that if you are able to...
Here's some screenshots.
Name drop both Unreal and Quake. Now, those are big... as you guys would say, game changers in the
yeah, but they're
FPS.
So old, though.
They are old, but, I mean, I'm a old-school Counter-Strike girl. Like, when you use those names, you have to live up to that expectation. All it's doing is raising the bar. So graphics are not, you know, we have to see that the gameplay and what
looks
the experience actually means.
Yeah.
But you're up against Doom. Right now.
Yeah.
Of course.
Not only is that hitting the nerve of nostalgia, it's also revamping everything at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's a monumental game.
Yeah.
Had this hit 2 months ago, it probably would... I mean, it looks great. Yeah.
Well, it came out in 2011. This is the Redux. So they upped the graphics a little bit, and they put everything together, so it's just one package.
How much is this? $14.99? Hey,
that's
Bobby?
That's the extended edition. The Redux, I don't believe...
It's $17.99 on sale, typically $19.99.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So yes or no, Chi?
I would say it looks gorgeous. The fact that I've never heard of Hard Reset Redux, or Redo, it's... not a name that I recognize as an FPS player, and for that itself, it's a little bit of a turnoff, especially it being, you said it's a it's a revamped version of a previous title?
Well, they came out with originally in 2011, and so they've been improving it, and so this is like the improved version of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll try it out.
Yeah, okay. Don't knock it till you try it.
Bobby, any interest?
Yeah, I played the first couple levels of Hard Reset. It was one of the few games that worked with NVIDIA 3D Vision. Looks great in 3D, but it's not like anyone has that set up anymore. It was a little unusual for a first-person shooter. I almost felt like it wasn't really a shooter, and it was more of like a puzzle game. It kind of felt like you were using the gravity gun from Half-Life 2 most of the time. Yeah, it's a good-looking game, and this would be the perfect opportunity to get back into it because I didn't want to finish it. So, yeah, I'd say yes on this one.
And it's pretty much a no for me. I have no real interest in it, but... Okay, last one, Bobby, if you could switch it on over. So Anima Gate of Memories, there wasn't a whole lot out this week, so I picked three of the ones that I thought might have the most interest. It's a third-person RPG, but it's focused on combat and exploration, not a whole lot of RPG. It's a light RPG. Story-driven. And you basically play as a character that has both the male and female character inside that I think you can switch back and forth from. Bobby... We'll get up a couple pictures, but based on the description, Bobby, what's your take? What's your thoughts on it?
I'm just going to say no on this one because Anima sounds like anime. You
know it definitely has anime. It's from the guys that did something. It was a Kickstarter that ended up getting green lit on Steam. So it looks pretty. They say they're an indie game company, so it looks really pretty for an indie game.
Definitely doesn't look indie.
Yeah, it doesn't. Nice.
It looks expensive and beautiful. I love the graphics on this one. I'm a big anime fan and RPG fan.
So it's a yes for you?
Depending on the cost, yes or no.
Okay.
What's the price on this one?
I don't think we have one yet. Do we?
No, there's no price listed yet.
So free for everybody.
Miller, that's a no for you.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a yes for me. And Bobby is a...
I'm a no.
Bobby's a no. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a no on that one.
That's it for the games coming out this week. And obviously, one big one today, or tomorrow, when the Blood and Wine expansion for Witcher, but we already talked about that.
Yeah, apparently it's 10 hours if you do main quest. Up to 30 hours if you do all the side quests.
So is any one of us actually going to play The Witcher?
I'm going to start playing The Witcher at some point.
Did you actually start Counter-Strike? Like he's going to say he's going to play The Witcher?
I haven't even been home since
the last podcast. Home. Yeah, it's...
Don't worry, I understand.
Yeah.
Did you play any video games, Chi?
I did.
Are you 0.0 hours?
No. Well, on Steam I am, but I can tell you I was there for the Overwatch launch.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We've been playing together.
Yes, sir. And I'm
more
excited
on that
for
later.
Us. Yes, of course. And I'm excited to talk more.
Cool. First of all, is this the best month ever in PC gaming? Or
why do you say that?
So Overwatch came out. Mm-hmm. Warhammer came out, which isn't as big, but a great game. The 1080s came out. The GTX 1080s came out.
Mm-hmm.
And the DL Gaming Podcast got their hands on a Vive.
Yeah.
Woo.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're so cool, we even got cooler.
Yeah.
It's almost like the rich get richer and the poor get poor.
Yeah.
We're already cool. We just keep getting cooler because people send the stuff.
Exactly.
Stuff. So anyway.
Yeah.
The Vive. Let's get into it. Should we start with the low point? Bobby, what do you think of it?
How
was that the low point?
Because I know you're going to shit all over it.
Your body language says it alone.
I don't want to be here. Take this thing off of me. I'm uncomfortable. It's ruining my hair. He said that. It's going to mess up my hair.
It did. Look at my hair. No, I did enjoy it. I just didn't move around a lot because you're just like, you can move. And the second that I just move a little bit, I bump into your bed and I bump into the fan and then I hit your ceiling fan up top.
We need to do it in the living room.
Yeah.
But the living room isn't connected to the PC, so we'd have to move the PC out here.
Right.
You can't really... If you had a living room computer, you probably wouldn't be able to run it anyways because you need a beast rig, so...
But let's also say that you can set it for seated experience.
Yes, you
the
can.
The Vive has the option.
So but the Vive does everything
for
the
those
Oculus
lazy
does.
Fuckers.
Yes.
Yeah. But it also does more.
Right. You can basically set your Vive to be an Oculus.
Can I just say from an outside perspective, watching Bobby with the Vive on was like walking through Walmart, and like if I had a Walmart vest, he would be my key target customer in terms of, can I help you, sir?
Completely lost.
Can I help you find your bag of Doritos, well, aisle 8? If needed, you can follow me.
Extra small condoms. I'm looking for extra small condoms.
The thing is, and I sympathize with Bobby, not about the extra small condoms, but about the... When you first put it on, it's kind of just an experience just to be wearing it. And you first have to, like, experience that so you can get used to that before you can start, like, playing games. Yeah. And we kind of just threw Chi...
Well, she went right into it, because lab is the right place to go.
No.
I kicked the door
down. I think
down.
The tutorial was the right place to go. Both of us did the tutorial with the balloons and all.
She did better on that spaceship game than either one, and even
high
Sam.
High score.
Like, right? Yeah, high score.
Yeah.
You know, some people just go to it like a fish like water, and other people look like seventh grade fucking dance.
You guys are painting this.
I'm not pointing any fingers, Bobby. But you know,
oh my god, you guys are painting this portrait of me that I do not understand whatsoever. You guys act like I put this thing on and was like, "What's happening?"
No,
it was when this is not my first VR experience, and like whenever I try something out like this, I'm testing the little details of it. You know, it's like that time we were playing Rust and. There was a crate dropping from the sky, so I stepped underneath it and let it fall on me to see if it would kill me. And then everyone laughed at me like, oh, you idiot, you got killed by a crate. I'm like, well, yeah, I want to see if it would kill me or not. You know, I like to test games out like that just to, you know, see the mechanics, see the things like that. It's the same thing with this. You know, I wanted to see, I noticed on the arrow game, when you pull it back, it vibrates a little. I wanted to see how the physics
Hollow
work
Point
in this
was
game.
The arrow
and,
game.
How much it responds to the movement, just the little details like that. I noticed a slight bit of jitter at parts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Is that? Did you guys experience that as well?
I did.
Yeah.
It's not perfect. So what will happen, what I think it is, the sensors, if those are budged even a little bit, and they don't even have to be touched directly. If somebody steps or moves around in the room and those things move a fraction of a centimeter, your whole world gets fucked.
Yeah, the problem is they're supposed to be wall mounted. We're supposed to mount them on walls, but we've kind of jerry-rigged something in here to get it to work because we didn't want to put it up quite yet.
Would that really make a difference if it was mounted on a wall?
Well, yeah, because so. You're stepping and then it's vibrating the table that the thing's sitting on, and it's, you know, it was on a tripod, so it was like very sensitive to movement. So if you're stepping funny, if you're stepping the least bit heavy, you can shake it.
I could see that.
Versus if you're mounting them on the wall, they're not moving at all. You know?
Almost like surround sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a completely different experience when you have it just upright.
Now, Chi, how'd you like it?
I loved it. I was completely skeptical going in. VR had zero interest whatsoever. But as soon as I plugged in, had the headset on, got involved with it, it was a completely different experience. It was this out-of-world experience for me. I enjoyed it. I made the most out of it.
Yeah.
It's almost like if somebody drags you out to the club, are you going to be a wall hugger? Or are you going to get on that dance floor?
Yep.
No matter
how weird it was. and just, like, make the most out of the experience. And I think that's what I did. I, you know, I was raging at the fence with this thing. It was awesome.
Yeah. Cool. It's crazy how you put it on and you look down and you're in this VR world, but the controllers are right there in front of you and you can literally just walk up and pick them up because they're so accurate to where they're located.
Yeah. Yes.
And so, and then you can pick them up and hold them and it's there in front of you and it's perfect. It looks like the thing that you just saw in real life, but your hand isn't wrapped around it. So it's like, it's there. And so it's just a weird sensation of this combination between real life and the virtual reality world, but it pulls it off so well.
Yeah, because Chi, right away, she's like, I can see the controllers, but I can't see you, Chad, at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and exactly. My first instinct was to rave with this controllers. I'm like...
Bobby and pretty much everybody else takes one controller and tries to stick it in the other, like, very sexual. pretty much everybody else.
What did
not
they call
Chi, though.
It?
Chi was very innocent when.
No, she wasn't.
No,
when you
no,
guys
I
left
wasn't.
The room.
With that space
so,
game?
Yeah, she was playing the space game, and like, there's a point where you get a superpower and you could pull it and you shoot the stream of stuff.
Oh. She put it right like at fire hose.
The JJ.
I would, yeah.
And she's holding it like a big dick. And she's like, this is what it feels like to be a man.
Yeah, I felt like a true man, and I was ejaculating my hose all over the space balls.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it was just the most glorifying experience whatsoever, and I was so completely satisfied from it.
Would everybody agree that it puts you in a different place? Like, you feel like you're not where you are. Probably it ranges anywhere from 50% where you know you're going to hit the cabinet to 90% where, okay, so Jack, go ahead first. Any initial things? I have the most to say, so I'm waiting for last.
Well, I want to do a little thing here. While we were getting it set up and all, Emilio was saying some funny shit, and so I actually wrote some stuff down. So I'm going to read some shit Emilio says with the uncrating and first time out trying the vibe. So first off, he says, be careful with that. Those are Mayan artifacts.
And nice. Very nice.
That's related to some... He's got a Logitech box with tinfoil in there, and it's sitting on your desk, and we're, like, rearranging shit everywhere. So I'm trying to, like, move shit, and I was like, yo, can I throw this away? He's like, don't throw those away. Those are Mayan, I don't know, Mayan artifacts. Apparently.
I have Mayan artifacts in my room.
Yeah, apparently. And then next up, he says, Bobby would cry if he saw this setup, because we got it set up on a tripod on top of your desk, and it's taped onto the top of the tripod.
Super J-rigged.
Yeah.
It's like the worst Jenga tower ever seen.
And then he says, there's a balloon right there. Like, when you do the tutorial, one of the things you do is you can blow these balloons up. But the way the tactile response is with them, if there's no doubt that there's a balloon in front of you.
Yeah.
The way you hit it... when it blows up and the subtle shaking, the sound that comes out, it is literally like you just blew up a balloon and it's
very
there
nice.
And you can hit each other. It's one of the craziest things.
That's where you hit the 90% believability right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then right after that, he says, I tried to kick the balloon and then started laughing because the balloons will float to the bottom and they're so real, you think that you can treat them as they're real. So he's trying to kick them, but obviously
that's awesome.
It doesn't do your feet. What else is good? Do I hear porn? I hear porn in the background.
That's awesome.
So within 10 minutes of us fucking around with it and having... well, first of all, the setup. Oh, I think we said it was like a 6 out of 10 in difficulty, would you say?
It was once you got on so the instructions tell you to go to the website.
Yeah.
The problem is you're also trying to hook up another... monitor, basically. So we were having some problems because you have to unhook a monitor and you got to figure out how to like get it on there, but you got to be reading the instructions. So it was just kind of awkward in that sense. But then this was one of the developer kits, so they weren't fully up to all the, what do you call them, the SDK, or the, you know, the, you, we needed to up
the consumer model,
we needed to up the you know,
user experience?
No, what the system software. We had to up the system software. A bunch of times. So, like, part of that was all going on while we were also trying to figure out how to use the thing. And then you have to upgrade the system software on the individual, every piece of it. Like, the controller needed a system software. The little sensors needed a system software
but
update.
Updating those were super easy.
Yeah.
Like, really easy.
Yeah, once we figured that out.
So, compare and contrast, setting this up or IKEA manual, which one would be harder?
Oh, this is easier.
I think
well, depending
they're
on
about
what
the
you're
same
building.
Difficulty, I think. We didn't
question.
Really need any special tools. The only thing was an Allen wrench, and it was included with it. So, all in all, it was pretty easy, but it still took a lot
Allen
of time.
Allen wrenches also come with IKEA stuff.
Yes,
that's right?
True. That's true. So that's pretty much it on the shit Emilio says that I have. There's some other ones, but they're not as funny.
All right, so I played the most of this. I've probably spent about 10 hours in the other dimensions.
How many calories did you lose? Is your Fitbit tracking?
Not a lot until you play Hollow Point.
Seriously.
And Hollow Point's the one where it's like an archery game that Bobby was playing.
Oh, I see.
Where you have to physically dodge. I wanted him to play that because he wasn't moving at all. He wasn't moving his feet at all. So
at
I was like, this one's going to make him move.
How many times did I kick your bed?
Like,
once.
Yeah.
Three times.
He was afraid to get into the virtual
room. Gee, how many times did you kick my bed?
Zero times.
How many times did you hit anything?
Zero.
She hit the fan once.
I hit the fan once?
Oh, okay. So, just saying. And she was
all right,
shaking.
Get off on Bobby's lack of movement.
So, Hollow Point's this thing where you physically have to move. When I dodge, I favor one way over the other.
Oh, yeah.
So, the cord got super, super wound up in one direction.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had to unplug the whole thing after playing it. I was sweating, by the way.
And you're like, a bigger person, so.
Yeah.
I was sweating. Like, this is a workout.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was doing Zumba or something. Like
I said the
archery
same thing.
Zumba. Yeah. The best game I've played so far that's a game is Portal Stories. These are the people that made Portal Stories Mel.
Mm.
Now imagine playing Portal but in VR. That's basically what this is.
Fun.
But you can't move around, right? So you
have to teleport around.
You teleport around, right?
Yeah. And okay. That's how you do a lot. That's how they make up, you know, you graph how much. And Bobby, this is why you're running into things. My room isn't big enough for the minimum amount of room that it needs for all these games. So we kind of jerry-rigged that too. So we put our hands over the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So that
yeah.
your shins are at risk, basically.
Yeah.
I do want to make one random funny comment about, I have not seen Chad with VR. I have not seen Emilio with VR, but I did get to see Bobby with VR on. And Bobby plays VR like he does maybe Girl on Top. He doesn't have to do anything at all.
Just entertain me, clown.
What is cool, though?
No movement. Zero movement.
What is cool is that everybody in the room can see what you're seeing when you're actually playing the games. So it can kind of be a group experience,
yeah.
Even though it's designed to be a very singular experience. Well, but we were having fun laughing at people, and like, you know, they're saying shit like, oh, you know, like,
yeah,
they're dodging and stuff like that. So you could have fun in groups, I think, with this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're getting double input. You're watching the screen, but you're also seeing the reactions in real time.
Yeah.
It's almost like watching those YouTube reaction videos, but
yeah,
it's your friend.
Yeah,
so
it's like you've
really
got your
cool
personal PewDiePie.
Unless you're Bobby and you don't react at all.
Okay, we've killed this horse.
Anyway, Portal Stories is Portal in VR. It's fantastic, really good. It's only
awesome.
Like a little tester too. You can't use portals, but use kind of like a gravity gun.
Oh,
and
cool.
It was really easy, but also it was free. So, and that's the best thing I played as far as a game. Now, fun for second. That's Space Pirate Trainer.
Which is a terrible name for a game, by the way. But
you're shooting. Bobby, you played this.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Bobby's right when he's talking about, like, when he's testing things out right away. First thing he did is, like, he pulled out his shield and then started bouncing lasers off his own shield.
Yeah.
And nobody, I ain't seen anybody else try to do that.
Yep.
And now I was like, oh, is that a viable tactic? You know?
Yeah.
Like, in the first, like, 3 seconds, he was doing that.
He plays games like a tester would. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You, after a while, you kind of get in that mindset.
But, man, you can get to the point where you're like, you have two guns, and you feel like you're in Boondock Saints, because
awesome,
you're shooting from the left to the left and the right, and then sometimes you'll cross your arms. It's kind of like I don't know, Tracer in Overwatch or something.
Okay,
you just feel like you're doing these crazy things, and then
you're dodging bullets and it goes into bullet time.
That's
and
awesome.
Wait until like you hear something coming and you pull out a shield and block it without looking. All of that while you're trying to shoot something on the right, you know shit's going on the left. Brain fucking kicks in, pull out the shield, block the thing, no look. You feel like a fucking badass,
yeah,
dude.
Like a warrior.
I spun just for laughs one time.
Yeah.
So
that
you are a full-blown McCree,
yeah,
playing Space Pirate,
yeah,
Trainer.
Yeah, pretty
here
much. The reason I put all these, I'm not going to list all the games that I played, but they all provided something different. Portal Stories was funny, gave me a narrative, you know, they made a world for me. Space Pirate Trainer is just fun for fun's sake, for second. Irrational Exuberance is one of these experiences.
Okay.
And, what was that?
You start off, I'm going to spoil it because nobody else is doing this, I think, right now, but you're inside of an asteroid, but you don't know that at first, and you're chipping away at it, and you kind of like, you're hatching like an egg.
Hoarder.
And then when you get out of there, don't spoil it.
You just did.
So you kind of hatch like an egg, only to find that you're in the middle of a space with a black hole near you.
Ender's Game backwards?
Awesome. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I didn't play that. I'll have to play that.
And then what's the last one, Bobby, that I had on the list there? Big Screen. Now, this is a more like an app than it is a game. Mm-hmm. You can take your screen and make it as big as you want and curve it around your head and turn it upside down, whatever you want. You can have a 60-foot screen in front of you and super IMAX, whatever movie you want.
So you could be playing Counter-Strike or whatever.
Yes.
In this big screen, and exactly. It just covers your whole...
That's amazing.
And this is where go to your self-help websites with this.
Yeah. Okay.
Tony Robbins.
This is how you do it?
This is how you do it. No, I think
there's got to be another way.
Well, this is really good.
Okay.
This is enough.
This is enough.
So I've never been into...
He's talking about jerking off.
I am not, sir. I've never been into the POV self-help.
Okay.
But this is pretty much all you can do in VR, right? Because that's what it is, right?
You know what I have to say to whatever this is and what I hope for our
whatever
future?
Whatever what is.
The fact that we can stretch the screen 360, I would wish for big screen movies to
You can
incorporate VR.
That's what he's saying. Like, since you can stretch the screen, then now you're playing a regular movie, but it's so big, it's like an IMAX.
No, but what are you saying?
Saying for movies to be developed specifically for VR.
There are some already. You can download them straight to Steam, Full on movies you can watch from any angle on Steam right now.
Really?
Wow. Outside of porn.
Outside of porn, yeah.
Well,
but the porn is pretty good.
We did not test that. Who tested that? Chad?
I tested that.
I unfortunately.
But it's weird because you have all this gear on you. You have all this gear on you, and you have
still
to,
made it happen though, didn't you?
Do they have female perspective VR porn, or
they
is it strictly
indeed.
Male?
They
oh no
indeed.
Way!
Yes.
Wow.
Now you can watch a sweaty dude on top of you from the girl perspective as well.
Why a dude?
Wait, you've
Why
done not? It? You speak of this like you've done it.
No, I have
his
yet.
Name, his name's Jake, and he's got crazy abs.
I have yet to experience the fun part of the VR experience. In that
you speak of
manner.
It like you know.
No,
it so well.
But big screen
the first
is also
day
good.
When we were fucking around with that, there was one specifically for the girls that I. And then they started playing, but we couldn't figure out how to view it. So it was just playing in the background, but we didn't know because we didn't have the headset on.
How do I switch from player A to player B?
Yeah.
I
mean, that'd be funny.
So final word on this. If you have $800, is it worth it? Or should you get the Oculus?
Which is $600, right?
Which is $600.
So the question is it worth the extra $200?
I would say if you have the room to play it in, if it's... I think it's officially 3x6 is what you need. But that doesn't mean 3x6 that you can walk around it. That's 3x6, then your arms extended around that as well.
Yeah.
So then, yes. One thing for the Oculus, I got to say, because it was in development more, there's way more games for the Oculus, and you can't play them on the Vive. There is a...
The Revive.
Yeah, the Revive, which is like a hack, but it just kind of like throws things on the Vive and it doesn't fully flesh them out. So,
well,
but this big screen thing is dope. Like, I watched Avatar as big as I can. It's not doing DVD. It's not doing 3D yet, unfortunately.
Cool.
But I watched Avatar better than it looked at in the theaters.
Bobby, you played both Oculus and now this one. You were talking a little bit about that while you were playing the Vive. You want to...
The Oculus was a DK1, so it's hard to compare
it
to. I mean, the graphics are just so low at that point that it's hardly comparable to this.
Yeah.
For $200 more, I think it's worth it to get the Vive because, well, you were saying you can't play Oculus games on the Vive?
Correct.
Yeah,
that could be a problem.
The Oculus games, if they're if they're licensed or whatever, if they're licensed for the Oculus, then there isn't a Vive equivalent. But it, you know, it's the same thing as Android versus the
iPhone.
Like, mm-hmm.
But there's games out there that work for both, right?
Exactly. And I think the same thing will be true on this one.
Personally,
because you can make the experience identical on the for Oculus games, right? Because this has a seated experience, and you can play on it with a controller, which is what the Oculus uses, right? So.
Personally. So, Cheek, I just saw it. The way you said that this needs Audio Surf.
Yes.
There's something called Audio Shield.
Woo.
And so you can put in whatever MP3 you want, but it also has music. And music comes at you, and you have to block it with the right shield.
That is so amazing.
I think one of my comments
for playing, what was the game I was playing with the little pilot shooter?
Yeah, that was part of the lab, right?
The lab. The lab is... It's free from Valve, and it really showcases everything that you can do in VR up until this point.
So I think one of the things that I was saying was, can you turn up the music, and where are my drugs? Yeah. Mind you, I've never, ever been on drugs or high, but through virtual reality, I was like, I need to be tripping, because this is a trip of its own.
Yeah,
it's absolutely amazing, and to kind of follow suit with the question of, the Vive and or Oculus, not even having played or used the Oculus, just being a Valve junkie. I'm known as the Valve junkie. If Lord Gaben is your one and sole, you know, creator Savior. Of all things, I would say support the Vive, pay the $200 more, because they have done such staple things, such as turn a non-believer like me in virtual reality
in about five easy minutes
actually with the opening screen. You know how everyone with the Valve opening, you hear the dun dun dun, like, and you see the Valve. The fact that I almost touched the Valve was
turned the Valve, dude.
Yeah, and turned the Valve. I didn't know how to use the controllers, otherwise I would have touched that Valve.
That was something for me.
That was great. That was amazing.
Turning the Valve, it was more than just VR and stuff like that. That was like, whoa. Like, I've looked at this Valve for I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
And I just turned it.
Wow.
It was fucking dope.
Wow.
That being said, everything being said, we wouldn't be playing the Vive if we didn't happen to be able to snag it for free right now. You know, like, so the price is prohibitive.
For sure.
For sure.
$800 is a lot to spend on something like this that isn't going to be used that often. I mean it's something you kind of have to set up, configure, make room for. That's a pretty steep price. I mean would you guys pay $800 for this?
I gotta say, right off the bat none of it feels cheap. These controllers are probably the best feeling controller that I've ever felt.
They're very natural.
They're fantastic.
Very space age, too.
The headset feels great. Everything is quality.
Even the cord. Like,
I saw that.
Yeah. Even the cord behind you, I was worried that it was going to feel flimsy, but it feels the right weight, because it you can feel it, but it doesn't get in the way. But you can feel it enough that you can step over it. You know it's
right.
So it was the right feel for that cord also.
I would say $900 out of pocket by myself would only justify it if it was the most ultimate board game of all time, in which I can feel like it is. If I had this at a party with, four or five other people, just from the outside looking in, like, I would watch Bobby five times over, if not 24/7.
She lost her shit while she was watching Bobby.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was entertainment, not only inside the virtual reality, but from an outside perspective looking in. It was absolutely amusing just watching somebody in virtual reality and their reactions. Like, I wish I could have seen your first experience, Emilio, and also you, Chad, because it's one of those things where you open someone to a completely new experience, and until they're there, it's like introducing somebody to weed or alcohol.
You know what it's going to be like, and then you actually get in there and you're like, oh my gosh, it's so much better.
It's like you want to peer pressure everybody to try virtual reality.
Here's the three times that I felt like a fucking idiot. Twice I tried to kick something that wasn't there.
Nice.
Yeah, and then the worst one was when I was in the Portal Stories, and I'm dodging. I'm literally crouching down behind the box. and there's these turrets, right? And I kill the turrets while I'm crouching behind the box. now that I've killed them, I can stand up because I don't have to, right? Yep. So then I try to put my fucking hand on the box that I was using to dodge, and my hand goes right through the thing. I almost fucking fell over in my own goddamn bedroom.
Yeah.
I'm so glad nobody was on for that one.
All right, last thing I want to bring up, just one question, Emil. You've been the vibe. You've been on the hype train on this vibe and Oculus for over a year now. And, you know, did it meet your expectations, surpass your expectations, or fall flat?
Ooh,
I think it's something new. I don't think it's going to go down as a PC gaming thing. It's just going to be like a thing separate. This doesn't have anything to do with, let's say, Overwatch.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I mean, not necessarily. I mean, you're talking about the big screen,
right?
Would you, when you're
you
going to play,
rock this as your monitor?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Could you see yourself using this as your main monitor?
It's a little heavy for that, for the amount of hours you're going to be putting in.
Okay,
you know, on the amount of hours we put in,
yep,
on certain things. Obviously, it's terrible for streaming stuff like that.
It was jittery at times too.
Your girl's in the room with you a lot of times, so it probably is not.
She loved it. She lost her shit.
Yeah,
you heard her screaming.
That's awesome.
I was afraid the cops were going to come because it sounded like a rape and murder were going on.
Wow.
In my room. Yeah,
there was a great time.
Did you Snapchat that?
I don't know. In my experience now, the two females, I've seen four males and two females try it. And the females adapt to it quicker than the men.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I think it's just our level.
You mean absolutely. It's your first time today.
I lost my virginity to virtual reality today. And can I tell you that it did not disappoint?
Nice.
It opened a whole new world. And so I'm on my magic carpet right now.
Nice.
If you get 800 together, are you looking to get one?
Me, personally, myself, unless it was a sponsored $800, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's enough Vive talk.
Steam controllers, we got our hands on those, too.
Yeah, it was Christmas at the Brojo. We also, that same day that we got the Vive in, we also got four Steam controllers.
I'm jealous. And I did not know this.
Yeah. And you're going home with one today.
Yeah. Is this my Christmas present? No way.
Yeah. So,
oh my gosh. I'm going to bake you all the...
Wait, one to Bobby.
You can't... Wait, I can't
Bobby
bake you guys.
Bobby doesn't want one. He's so...
I can't bake you guys anything, what can I do? What can I cook for you that will... Egg rolls.
Well, you got to try it out, and then next week you got to come here and tell us what you think of it.
Absolutely.
So,
I'm so
happy. But yes, we got four Steam controllers. They feel flimsy at first, but then you put the... At least in my experience, you put the batteries in there, and then they seem to like firm back up. Right, once you put the batteries in, that they felt like the right
I'm
weight.
I'm still not thrilled with the thing.
It's okay. This girl can handle reaffirming things. It's okay.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, I was like, okay, let's see if it really does what it says it does. Can you play a game that you need a mouse and keyboard for? So we went with Grim Dawn, which is a dungeon crawler.
Yep.
Can you really play this dungeon crawler? And you can remap now. You can remap everything and spend the time and really get it exactly the way you want and do anything. You can basically do anything you want with these. These are open source controllers. But the one that was built in by the programmers... It was confusing, right, Chad? And you couldn't do it.
Well, I had set up the buttons how I wanted to set them up, and you set up your hotkeys and what abilities are to what number and all. And then when you start using the Steam controller, it brings up a separate menu, and we couldn't figure out how to get the spells on the menu. So I couldn't do any of my abilities.
And every time you try to do it on your keyboard and then go back to the... It would switch off. Yeah. It wouldn't work.
When I touched the mouse, it flopped the controls back to the, you know, the mouse and keyboard.
Can I say it's really awkward listening to a conversation where we're trying to turn a mouse and keyboard into a controller where it's, for instance, I've been a Zim user before. Do you know what the Zim is? The Zim controller? For Xbox players, it's a device that allows you to turn your controller into a mouse and keyboard. I used to play Call of Duty with a Zim. I'm sorry, boys, that I have that advantage in those battlegrounds.
Probably a lot easier.
Like, you probably hated me and not even realized that I was cheating. It is like the ultimate cheat, where it takes all of the controls for the controller, converts it to mouse and keyboard, so PC gamers like us can experience console games like Call of Duty.
Like, and Halo or whatever.
You know, and
destroy.
Yeah, and destroy. And it's so weird because hearing you guys trying to convert mouse and keyboard into controller, it's almost like downsizing or plebbing yourself. And it's going to be a unique experience for me. I'll have to try it out myself.
And personally, I was like, okay, everything that I play on controller is going to be on the Steam controller, but I haven't played anything on controller. There's a bunch of seated experience with the Vibes I haven't even touched yet.
Yeah.
Well, except for I tried Eve Valkyrie.
Elite Dangerous?
Elite Dangerous. And you need to be a master at Elite Dangerous before you even try it in VR. Like, I didn't even know how to start that game.
Yeah, he was just sitting in the
cockpit.
I
couldn't even start the game. Meanwhile, the cockpit looked amazing.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get into space for the life of me.
So I guess this is just a tease for the Steam controllers, because none of us.
Yeah, next
really...
week we'll have some more.
Yeah.
Or the week after.
Maybe we'll even get Bobby to try one out and see if he'll actually play something on the controller.
Bobby, you're going home with one too.
Master?
Yeah.
I'll try it, but I don't know. We'll see.
I can already tell he's not happy about it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know how I feel about controllers in general, but...
He hates them.
I think I would...
He's a true PC elitist.
Yeah, PC to the
like
core.
I might like the Steam controller. You know, it's interesting. There was... I can't remember which book it was I read, but the guy was talking about how he preferred controllers over... Oh, it was Why Video Games Matter. But he was talking about why he preferred controllers over keyboards and mice, and he said it was
because
a controller... This is his argument. I don't agree with it. But he said a controller is designed specifically for a video game, whereas a keyboard and mouse were designed for typing and then repurposed for video gaming. And that was his argument for it, but I totally don't agree with that. I think keyboard and mice is so much more effective.
In my opinion, it's do you want to lean forward or do you want to lean backwards?
Yeah.
Because with a controller, you could relax and lean backwards. With a mouse and keyboard, you want to jump at that monitor. You're just like clicking and tapping away. Especially, Bobby, you have a mechanical keyboard, do you not?
Yeah, it's mechanical.
Yeah.
There you go. That's
you
what I'm talking
hear
about.
It when he's on
very
Skype.
Loud.
Who else has one?
Just Bobby out of all of us.
And myself.
Oh, and you. Yeah, that's right.
The true PC elitist.
What kind of mechanical one do you have?
I'm not even sure what the name was, but I think it's a... See, that's the thing. I do my research. I buy it. I love it.
And then forget all about it.
In fact,
Sponsors are going to love that.
Yeah. Let me recall back to last week's episode when you asked me what video card I had. I said I think I had an AMD. I lied. I actually have a NVIDIA. I have a 790. 970, sorry.
970, okay. Sorry.
Oh, that's what we have.
Excuse my dyslexia. 970.
Yeah, okay.
790, we're like, go home.
Yeah, seriously.
Go home right now.
Get out right now.
You're like playing Pong, bro.
Yeah. Should we get into Overwatch since that was the big one?
Over woo. Motherfucking watch.
Woo, woo, woo.
All right, who wants to... Bobby hasn't talked a whole lot.
We're going to start with Bobby, but I also want to do this real quick. How much money has everybody spent besides buying the game so far? Chad?
On Overwatch?
Yeah.
Zero.
Bobby?
I spent $40.
Ooh.
I spent $20.
I spent $20 on the mishap of buying the Origin package rather than the regular. Yes.
But that's okay because you get a bunch of... Well, how many boxes did they give you?
It's really not worth
it. They didn't give me any boxes.
That's what sucks about... The console version is like $60, I think. But the PC version, there's a $40 version, but they kind of downplay that.
Yes,
they're just like, buy this $60 Origins edition.
Exactly.
Over and over and over.
I fell for it.
And really,
I fell
you don't get that much out of it. You get a free character in Heroes of the Storm, which you could buy for like $10 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You get a portrait in StarCraft 2, and you get like, I don't know, some cosmetic item in Diablo 3. Like, you get nothing from it, really.
If I didn't know there was multiple tiers, I would have fell for the same trap you did.
Honestly, no. Blizzard had it set up where I was on Battle.net, I was ready to play, and I had to buy it from whatever closest to the source option I had. So I was ready to download. I was already running behind. I had no time to think and or weigh my options. I just simply wanted to play. And when it came to that, I bought the $60 version because it was the most prominent version, if not right. the only yeah. advertised version, straight out of Battle.net to be loaded up. If I had, you know, just maybe dabbled around the website itself versus the application, the software application, I probably, and I would have 100% bought the $40 version.
But it's a little more than doubled around. It's at least three clicks to get to the $40
really?
Version.
Okay, so yeah,
it's not easy to get to.
Yeah, I didn't work hard enough for the discount.
When I pre-ordered it, it was like two columns. Do you want the $40 one or the $60
no.
one?
Yeah, not anymore. It was like that too when I bought it. And I bought the $60 version because that gave me early access to a character in Heroes of the Storm.
Tracer,
so it was
right?
Yeah, Tracer. So mm-hmm. it was worth it for me, but I know a lot of people who bought the $60 version and didn't realize there was even a $40 version available.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I knew exactly there was like a 40. You. I just
so
I can't believe even getting dot
so
boxes.
You guys bought loot boxes. Yeah.
I was wasted. Like I was really drunk.
I love how you say I bought loot boxes, and to justify it, like the qualifier is, well, I was wasted. I'm like, I bought loot boxes. I'm rich. I don't know. $40
yeah.
is not a lot of money
yeah,
to me.
That's
I'm gonna
awesome.
I was like, you know what? I'm going to be playing so much of this game. I really want that May skin where she's a fireman. Like,
oh,
I'll
yeah.
drop some money on
so
it.
So did you get enough to get that one? Because
yeah.
that's 1,000
well,
of the credits.
Because here's what you can expect. Each character has 54 unlockable cosmetics,
yep.
Poses, you know, all these different things.
That's awesome.
That's 54 per character, and then there's also, like, badges for just your profile you can get. So there's a lot of unlockable stuff. I got, for $40, I got 50 loot boxes, plus from leveling up, I think I've gotten 15. So out of 65
wow.
loot boxes, I've got between 9 and 11 unlocks on every single character. Like,
wow.
not even that big of a dent in it, but, like, still a good amount of stuff. I mean, that's what you can expect from getting these. And I got quite a few rare ones. I also got about 2,200 currency, and that's what I bought a few of the skins that I wanted. So, I mean, that's kind of what you can expect if you're going to spend that money on loot boxes.
Bobby, did you get any of the rare currencies?
Yeah, where you get 150.
150, yeah.
I haven't
so
seen that yet.
I would imagine you can get a legendary currency, right?
Yeah, it's 500.
No oh, nice.
Way.
You got one?
I think I did, yeah.
Wow.
If you get duplicates of one item, then depending on its rarity, you get 5 or 15. So you can get a little bit of money here and there that way as well.
I've also heard, man, should we even break down what this game is and all that stuff?
If you don't know what Overwatch is.
Yeah, we're going yeah. over intricacies right now, and I guess we should. Once you get, I've heard, this is secondhand, once you get to level 50, you start back on the next tier at level 1, and you start getting your levels quick again.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
And so you could like get a bunch of boxes there again quick. So
how many tiers are there?
Oh, I don't know.
Or does it just keep going 1 to 50, 1 to 50, 1 to 50?
I don't know.
Huh.
But should we get into the nitty gritty of it or
yeah.
any
all
more
intricacies?
All I can say is that like if you buy loot boxes, it definitely raises the bar of playability. You would look at somebody with a particular skin, like the May Firefighter one, mm-hmm. I would say, like, oh, that person has such an elite skin. They
yeah.
must be amazing at this character.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Dude, what's your favorite skin that you've seen?
My favorite skin that I've seen has got to be actually one that I got off of a random. I paid $0 in a loot boxes.
Nice. Good for you.
I got a really nice. It was a Pharaoh skin where it was very Native American. I
oh,
have
nice.
The.
Pharaoh, the flying one?
Yeah.
She has a Native American one?
She has a Native American one.
My favorite one is the Gundam version of Pharaoh.
No, this one here, I have.
It's sick.
I actually played a five-man Pharaoh game with a Lucio. So I've seen like virtually every single version of Pharaoh.
You know what's funny?
Lots of troll games.
You're probably the last one into Overwatch. You probably have the most time played. You've been playing
maybe.
A lot, right?
I've played for two nights. I've played, it feels like, nonstop 8-hour
yeah.
plays. Because
you have the most.
I couldn't stop playing it.
It's so good.
And I really do truly want to go around and figure out what your top three characters are, because it really kind of allows you to interpret who you're playing with and how they fit in your group.
Now, Bobby, do you feel like maybe knowing that you were going to play this hardcore, maybe when you first got into it, you were like, because you had no experience, you were getting smoked, basically, right? So was it like, oh, I know I'll get better, or was it like, oh, this game isn't what I thought it was?
No, there's definitely a learning curve. And really, it's understanding the characters, their strengths, their weaknesses, what counters what. I mean, like any other game that has this kind of depth, you go into it, all these explosions happen, things are flying left and right, and you don't know where they are or what they're coming from. So, you know, that just comes with experience. And I'm starting to get there. As much as I've played, there's still some characters that I haven't even touched yet, but there are a few that I really like. Probably Winston. I mean, May was the one that I really gravitated to at first. But I really like Winston. But after playing him more than any other character, I really started to realize what his strengths and what his weaknesses are, who he's good against, who he isn't. I Googled a counter list for that game, and according to my experience, it was pretty accurate. I was like, yeah, I've definitely noticed Winston is good against those people, and I've noticed he's really bad against these people. And I kind of looked at what the other characters were good or bad against. But it's definitely a game where you have to switch characters based on what your team is playing and what you're playing against, because that makes all the difference. That determines whether you're going to win or lose.
And you can surprise enemies with, oh, they're doing this, and then halfway through you show up with something new. They're not expecting Bastion halfway through, and they're not expecting a Toborn. And then also, Winston is great around cliffs. He can knock people over cliffs. So it's also level design.
Yeah.
But he's great. Winston's really, really fun. If you just love to get in the mix, he's
got to be, though. I mean, I think it's important for Winston to be good because he's kind of one of the faces of
Overwatch. Probably the main face. Yeah.
So
he had the original short.
Him or Tracer.
Yeah. Those two are the ones.
I see more Tracers than Winston's, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
Tracer. Apparently, there was a tournament this weekend, last week sometime, and Cloud9, all the usual suspects showed up, and one team went 5 Tracers and actually won at high level play.
Really?
So maybe there's something to be said there, and apparently they're not going to be switching how many people you can play of one.
Yeah. I put this on the list here. So to preface what I'm saying, I listened to the PC Gamer podcast for the first time ever, actually.
That was a particularly good episode.
I listened to it on the drive back from LA, and I'm probably not going to listen to them again because I got worried the whole time that I'm going to be bringing up shit they were bringing up.
It's weird, man. It's like one of those things. I think about it all the time, and sometimes some of the opinions that I've said have been inspired from what I hear. And you really have to be conscious of that. But at the same time, we're all talking about the same things. And to have a really nuanced opinion on something, you have to hear every opinion about it, you know?
Yeah. I would expect, as a podcast listener, that...
Wow. Took a whole 3 seconds.
Wow. Are you okay, Sam?
Yeah.
Okay. Where was I? Oh, I expect most of our listeners probably to listen to the PC Gamer podcast. You know, most of them. It was a different podcast. So I'm probably not going to listen again because, like I said, I'm worried about it. But one of the things they were bringing up is Bastion and how there's a lot of like people crying about Bastion.
Oh, I love Bastion.
And I think the real hate comes from Bastion when you run into 2 or 3 Bastions that are able to kind of protect each other. You know, you set up 2 Bastions kind of on opposite corners of the room, and you literally can't get to one
because one can't get flanked.
Well, yeah, Bastion with a Mercy. Oof.
Yeah, well,
or
my whole point,
Reinhardt.
My whole point about bringing this up is that I really think they need to change that, and I know they've said that they're not going to change the fact and lock it to only one person being able to use that character. But I think down the road, there's just no way to balance this if everybody can run it. This is not TF2. Like I know people talk about this being similar to TF2. Mm-hmm. It's not. TF2 has 9 classes, and there's very clear rock, paper, scissor aspect of it. This game is not that. They could have taken a risk. I mean, they could have taken a leap and said, this is the combination of a MOBA and an arena shooter, but we're going to take the best parts of each of them. And if you had taken the one person per character like a MOBA, I really think it would have been a win. But they refused to do it. And there's going to be people crying. If it's not going to be Bastion, it's going to be Torborn. And if it's not Torborn, it's going to be five Tracers. You know, like, there's always going to be that one guy that's good for this map. So, of course, six of them are going to be better. You know, it's just like the way this game's going to work. And I think they're going to keep butting their heads against this thing until they finally realize we need to change this rule.
I agree. I think they're going to change that eventually, but not until, you know, they have to swallow some pride on that one. Besides that, guys, did Blizzard go ahead and make the best video game ever made?
I haven't had a chance to play a ton of Overwatch, so I can't make that judgment.
Credit to PC Gamer on this, but it's bringing friends together.
Yep.
Everyone is playing this. I'm playing with my nephew. Mm-hmm. I'm playing with Chief for the first time. Mm-hmm. I'm playing with Bobby. This is bringing Bobby out to the woodwork. He actually put himself available.
Wait, he's moving?
Yep.
It's amazing. It's like, so that adds, it's so easy. Okay, so, for instance, I don't know Bobby, but I know Chad. Chad really knows Bobby. I can invite Chad to my group. Chad can invite Bobby to my group without me knowing Bobby. And then we can become friends really quickly and easily. Yep. But if I don't like Bobby, I could kick him because I'm the group leader. Yep. It's the perfect way to do that. Like, so many things about this thing.
Yeah, they had a similar party system in Heroes of the Storm, too. And that was the first time I had seen something like this. And they just make it so easy. Their attention to detail with things like that has just always been better than a lot of other games, or a lot of other developers, I should say.
All right. Let me ask this question. You know, everybody right now is saying it's a pretty good game. What would you change, or what annoys you, or what don't you like about the game? Anybody?
Right now, quickly, my first response is it's getting a little repetitive. I think the levels, I've been playing it for so long, they're new. There's like one new level. And you know what's funny? There's one level that I thought about today that I played in the beta, but I haven't played it since its official release. I don't know if they pulled it. Or
which one was that?
I can't quite remember right now.
The Tokyo Tower one? Wasn't there like some Tokyo?
Yes. That's one, and the additional to there's another one that I haven't played, so that's weird. So I'm sure they'll fix them and put them in or whatever. Just it's getting a little repetitive. Having a fucking blast though, but
no, I could agree with that. I kind of got a hint of that after all the hours I've spent on this game. Just a little bit of repetitiveness that I think might get worse, and I think the problem that I have with it is not enough game modes.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily the maps.
That's exactly my thing, too.
Like, look at Dota. You can have the same map and just have a completely different game with different characters and have it be a whole new experience and have it be great. But the game modes, there's really only one, and then there's the Weekend Brawl. And I haven't touched that yet. Maybe I'll check that out. But I don't know. I think I'd like... I mean, they have Payload. They have Defend the Point, Capture the Flag. Mm-hmm. Not Capture the Flag, but like that...
Capture points.
Yeah, capture point one. I'd like to see something like ranked play. They said they will add. And this is going to be a lot like Heroes of the Storm, where it starts off as one thing and they continue adding and revamping shit along the way. So, I mean, it'll get better and it'll change. It's going to be... Blizzard knows what they're doing with community-based games, but...
I really hope that they... The same thing they've been doing to MOBAs, they're going to be doing to first-person shooters. Throwing the fucking board game over and doing whatever the fuck they want because they can. Like Cho'Gall, shit like that. Like crazy things. Chromie is like why would you put something in like that in a game? Just test shit out. You got this amazing thing.
Yeah.
Fucking test a bunch of shit out.
Yeah.
Do some things that nobody else has done.
And that's kind of what the Brawl does, right? The Brawl is something different every week.
So far, I've seen a bunch of bullshit on there. It's like all Soldier 57s, okay, fucking whatever. All fucking Navi, or Davi.
Diva.
Diva. Yeah, right. I think my biggest gripe with...
Like a diva.
Mm-hmm.
Like
me. I love Diva, by the way. One of my favorite tank heroes.
It's basically
next
you.
To Roadhog. I actually love Roadhog, though, believe it or not. My Pudge.
Yeah.
Roadhog's basically my Emilio.
Yeah.
Roadhog and Diva.
I have a sneaky suspicion he's Mexican, by the way.
When it comes to Overwatch, probably. My biggest gripe is, unless I'm playing with someone I know and or a group, if I am solo queuing, I am not enjoying myself. And my biggest gripe would have to be with Overwatch for the community to actually grow into a more verbal community. Mm. Being a Counter-Strike player myself, that is what makes the game. The game itself is how you communicate with your teammates and previously before the enemy team. With Overwatch right now, everybody is still in that learning curve.
Yeah.
So until we are more advanced in how we play the game itself, I feel like we're not quite yet at endgame. Like with WoW or any other RPG, once you hit a certain point of understanding of your characters and the board or the dungeon, then you experience the game in a whole new level, almost competitively.
Yeah.
And I feel like with Overwatch right now, it being so new, we have yet ourselves to really learn that curve. And once everyone else is kind of playing on the level that you want to play at, that's when you can get the most enjoyment out of it.
And you can't really slide it too much for not being... Basically, what we're saying is you haven't been around long enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's like our biggest complaint, really. So all of this is going to get fleshed out, especially by somebody who... a business that takes care of their IPs so well and follows up.
Oh, I mean, first this new IP is, since Star... Craft maybe or
what was the one that we were talking about? No, Heroes of Storm is a new IP.
I mean, that was a new game. You know what I think this game really needs is a team deathmatch mode.
Ooh.
Where there's no objective.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of people are jumping into this game and they just want to kill each other. And you spend, this happens in Team Fortress 2 a lot. I should say for the listener, if I'm talking funny right now, I feel like I really am. I got Invisalign, so I got a mouthful of plastic. So if I sound weird this week, that's why.
You got a little bit of a lisp. But
why are you wearing that, Bobby?
Straighten my teeth. Never had braces as a kid.
What is it called?
Invisalign.
That's the same thing our other buddy did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I think a lot of people are jumping into Overwatch right now, and they're just trying to kill the other team. Mm-hmm. And you'll notice during these objective maps that everyone will kind of do that throughout the game. And then when overtime happens or you got a minute left and they're like, okay, everybody rush the point. And that happens in Team Fortress 2 a lot as well. It's like all of a sudden people get serious at the very end of the game. But
I think to that point, Bobby, there's so many people playing that we have a lot of people that don't regularly play games, and they are just in there to shoot each other. And so I think we're dealing with that aspect. You know, they haven't put the ranking system in yet. So you have no opportunity to get through the trash yet to get to the players that you want to play with. So
I do feel when we're rolling full or five or six, where we are playing other five or six players, that doesn't mean that they're going to be good though.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. I feel like we've gone 5 minutes of shit we hate about this game. Meanwhile, we all love it, right?
I mean, it's easy
to say.
I think we could list all the reasons why we like the game, but I think we all just said.
Well, I just don't want people to get the wrong idea if they haven't bought this yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and the thing about Overwatch, like I said earlier, it's going to continue to change. I mean, this is going to be an evolving game over the period that, I mean, it's a game based on the community, and Blizzard has been, and I know this from Heroes of the Storm, Blizzard has been very good about listening to feedback and implementing those changes in the game, and I hope they continue that tradition with Overwatch.
And they're learning as much as we are.
Yeah. You know?
It's a learning experience on both ends. This is what they put out. This is what we thought. That's what they'll change. This is what we learn about that. It's back and forth, and it's going to be a fantastic trip.
I don't know. My problem right now with Overwatch is I've really only played Lucio. I haven't really played any other characters. And, like, so I don't character switch or anything. I've just been playing Lucio, and so I just need to play more characters.
As long as it's... Yeah, is that a problem, or are you enjoying Lucio so much that you don't need to play anything else? I mean...
Well, I think you guys are right in that fact that you need to tailor your character for what the game is, what's going on in the game, and what's happening. I couldn't list my three favorite characters in this game because I don't have three characters that I've played in this game.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. We got to set up a Reinhardt Bastion combo. I unabashedly play Bastion. He's my favorite character, and I don't care what anybody says. I have fun playing him.
Yeah. He's fun.
Do you want to go around real quick with our favorite character and why?
Sure.
Sure. So obviously Chad Lucio, but why?
I like healer classes. I can feel like my aim isn't the best, so I feel like I can still contribute a lot to the team with a healer, though I'm not hitting headshots.
And you don't have to aim his heal.
Lucio is just a...
He's a bard, basically.
Yeah, he's a bard. He's just always healing.
Yeah.
Funny mistake, I actually would shoot my teammates thinking I was healing them.
Oh, with Lucio?
And for a good 24 hours, I was doing that. No one, that's what I mean about communication. No one actually cared to say, yo, why are you shooting me? You're not actually doing anything. Right. You're shooting me.
And their voice chat inside a game is fantastic. And it's on a button that's perfect, I think. It's the first time where I was like, oh, that makes it. Tilda. Nobody really uses it in game. And
it's always been right the there. Console button for a ton of games.
It's weird for me, to be honest. I do not like the tilde push to talk.
Favorite character and why, Chi?
I love Symmetra.
Symmetra?
Wow, right. Really?
Yeah.
But I feel like on offense, offers nothing.
Absolutely worthless.
Except for the teleporter.
I get super excited whenever there's a defense, when I'm on the defense, because I'm like, yes, an excuse to play Symmetra, because people never expect smart placement of your turns.
Yeah.
And that teleport is I know you guys like
game changer. Yeah.
Game for changer sure. If it's done right. There have been games where as Symmetra I've been useless and I've switched characters on the fly realizing that. But there are other games where with that teleport, with smart placement of the turrets, where people are getting annihilated, it's just like, wow, I just owned you with my Symmetra. And she is not my most played character. Mei actually is. But I enjoy playing her the most, but only strictly when my team is on defense.
Do you find that you play mostly girl characters? You just happen to list Mei and Symmetra. So I was wondering if that's
my,
a trend.
My top three are Mei, Mercy, and Symmetra. So
there you go.
You said you like D.Va also.
Yeah, and D.Va. But my favorite tank is Roadhog.
Yeah.
I find myself being the bitch of the party. If I realize that this team needs this, I will give up any kill count to actually support what the team needs for the win.
I feel like everybody's like that. Or not everybody, but most people. Like,
I think the game encourages that.
Yeah, for sure.
And I play Reinhardt a lot. Yeah. Too. Next, and like Reinhardt is my most played tank character.
Bobby, you gonna go with Mei, the trolliest of all trolls?
Mei? You mean Mei?
Mei.
I started out really liking Mei, but I play her less and less. She doesn't work very well depending on who you're up against.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Winston. I really like Reinhardt, and I don't know. I've been bouncing around a few other characters, some of the healers, but the tanks and the healers, I have barely tried out any of the characters that everybody wants to play. Hanzo, Genji, Widowmaker, like all the ones that are like, you know, precision, skill shot, snipe, all that shit. Like, I barely touch those ones. I'm going for more of the utility warrior role right now, but I'll eventually get to them.
And Genji might have the highest learning curve. You really need to know what you're doing.
I've seen McCrees and Hanzos just rip through games, though.
Oh, yeah. Hanzo always gets play of the game.
Oh, yeah.
He has the most broken.
Fuck Hanzo. Yeah, no,
he has the most broken ultimate.
Yeah, fuck it's broken. His ultimate straight in the cornhole. I can't stand. Like, there's nothing you can do. Oh, shit. Okay, we're all dead. Okay, let's all run back from
our
face.
You could not group up, I guess, is the best thing you can
do.
In a game where you're forced to group up.
Because
it's a control point.
Well said.
I would say the most impressive play of the games, though, are my McCrees. I personally cannot play McCree for the life of me. But for the first time, out of all the games I've played, it's so rare to see an MVP. You know how at the end of the screen you get a vote for your MVP to offer them more experience? I actually saw the first MVP card of where it actually means you are on fire most of the game. And it was my little brother who played McCree. And McCree is hard to play, in my opinion. But when he's played right, it is amazing what he can do.
He's played at a high level. He's tournament worthy.
Yeah.
Because even if he's not going to kill anybody, he clears the board. It slows things down. Mm-hmm. He comes out with his everybody hides, and then that's a game changer. Sorry, guys. Because everybody hides, the game has been changed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and then I think this podcast is going to be named Game Changer, by the way.
I hope not.
So on defense, definitely Bastion. On offense, Roadhog's my guy. Just being made grapple people, and his survivability is ridiculous.
So much fun.
But I think everybody, if you haven't bought this, I don't care if you're like an RTS guy and you wait for us to talk about RTS guy things. This needs to be purchased by you. If you're an MMO guy, it doesn't matter. Play this. Buy this game.
If you like social gaming,
buy this game.
This is a great social gaming game.
Jeez. You can play. You can shoot bots until you feel like you're comfortable enough. If you don't know how to aim, you could play Torborn. Who else could you play if you can't?
Mercy,
aim?
Lucio.
Yeah,
Lucio provides
the guy with the guy Junkrat. Junkrat, you really don't have to aim. Really,
I've never played Junkrat. That's he's one of fun. The heroes. Zero.
He's the demo man in.
In TF2, which I never liked, so that's probably why.
Yeah, that's probably why.
Junkrat is probably my number two played guy.
No way.
Just because you're just lobbing grenades and can just lob
spamming.
Grenades.
Yeah. Spam bot. Okay, we're going to move on, but
what
not
was
because,
that 20 megahertz?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Fuck. So the worst thing about Overwatch, people are saying, is its netcode and how far behind it is. It's basically running at one-third the speed of something of like Counter-Strike or something.
Wow. Oh, really?
It's ping rate and all that. And they haven't really addressed this except for saying that they're going to make it better. But personally, I think this is a dumbing down of multiplayer so that everybody's on the same level. Kind of like why League of Legends is the best game in the world. Doesn't matter what rig you're running. It doesn't matter what your internet connection matters that much. In this game, it doesn't give you that much of an advantage because everybody's playing up to a second behind.
So you're saying that they did shitty net code on purpose to make the level of the playing field?
Yes. It's Blizzard, man. They know net code. You can see this plenty of times.
This is their first person shooter. Like, this is a whole different ballgame for them.
No.
Definitely MOBA. No error 37 on this one, though. I love that.
MOBA's like Heroes of the Storm is probably as quick as anything else out there. They know what they're doing. I think they're dumbing it down to make it.
People have complained extensively about the net code on that. It uses something called lockstep networking or something like that. And it's the same thing that StarCraft II uses. And you probably noticed when you played Heroes of the Storm, if you get disconnected, when you reconnect, there's a countdown. You can wait up to a minute or two before you finally get back into the game. And it's because of the type of the networking that they use for that. And a lot of people don't like it, but it's got its pros and its cons. I don't know what they're using for Overwatch, though.
But when it's most notable is when you're like, you're watching the replay and you're like, that's not how that went down. You know what I mean? They're like, you're watching the replay of you dying and you're like, I activated my ultimate. I was halfway across the map. And that they didn't even show on the replay of me dying. Why is that? It's because that really never happened. Because that was a split-second thing versus, you're several milliseconds behind.
Well, maybe it's because of that, or maybe it's just because of the design of the game. But it feels like a much slower-paced game than most shooters. It's not like Battlefield or Call of Duty or any other first-person shooter that I've played. Yeah, it doesn't feel like that at all to me. It feels the movement, the actions, like the response time, and not in a way where I feel like there's lag. I just feel like, I don't know, it feels like a slower game than other games.
Even though the round timers are so quick?
Yeah, I'm not talking about like the game going by really quick. I'm just talking about the characters' movements and the shooting. Like, it's not like I don't feel like you're going to 360 no-scope someone in this or something, you know? It's not like a Twitch shooter to
Absolutely.
Me.
Is the 360 no-scope thing a joke? Like, 360,
no, that's happened a lot.
360 means you...
Oh, 360 go all the way around.
Yeah, like, is the 360 no-scope, is that like a joke? Is it
No, it's very real.
No, but like, a 180 no scope would make sense. That would be impressive.
Why would you spin?
Why would you do a full 360 just and then shoot off? In the same direction?
Yes. Amelia said it, just to show off. If it can be done, why not do it?
Okay, fair enough.
All right, are we done with Overwatch?
Yes.
I mean, we're going to talk about it next week, I'm sure, but for now, we're done.
The foreseeable future.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it brought Chi back to gaming.
Yeah.
It really did.
Yeah.
My zero...
Although, I got a bone to pick with you.
I know.
What is it?
What? My Steam profile showing 0 hours played? Or?
No. Her leaving games to open loot boxes... Which would break the group,
Oh my God.
And then we would have to leave our game, all five of us, so that she could rejoin so we could get it. And then she had just started playing. So every loot box, which is every two games, she had to leave. I was like, okay, I got to go to bed.
Wow. Yeah. Well, she didn't buy any loot boxes, so she's got to be excited for all of the loot boxes.
I brought it up, and she goes, no apologies given. And that I respected.
So true.
That I respected.
It actually took me probably 3 days in until I finally found a player icon I was happy with.
Really?
So right now I am sporting Kerrigan. It's a very nice, like, deep purple, blue. But I was not happy with anything that I got from these loot boxes.
I haven't gotten shit for shit. I think I'm, like, level 4. I was expecting to have been kept.
Dropped 20 bucks, dude. I was stoked.
I was expecting to have kept my levels from the beta, since the beta was just recently. So I was expecting to be in my 20s and already have opened loot crates and shit. And they reset my level, and I was like, son of a bitch.
And sadly, you're almost in your 40s.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's true.
So I played Total War Warhammer.
Yes.
This was one of the big titles coming out this year. The production value is through the roof. This is something that's going to be being played for years.
Nice.
He says that for every game, so don't listen to that.
Okay. I'm believing him. I'm so gullible.
He's giving me the look.
I'm the gullible one of the group now.
No. Every faction is different.
You literally said that about XCOM 2. You talked about how you would be going to be playing this from 10 years from now. When's the last time you played XCOM 2?
When I said that.
Okay, cool.
Because we have a PC gaming podcast, and I have to keep the ball rolling.
I totally sympathize with that.
This is great. Every race is really different. Every race is played differently.
How many playable races?
I believe 5 or 6.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Yeah. And I've played RTSs like this where maybe one faction needs a different resource. One might need gems and the other one might need wood or something like that. But this takes this into the next level where you're really the orcs thrive off of war. So even if they're losing, you need to keep them fighting in order to keep them happy. But besides that, this is like a Total War game where you can pause the battle at any point and zoom in to one guy killing one other guy, and you're like, oh, that looks awesome. And you pull back all the way, and you're seeing 500 guys fighting.
Wow.
And you're just like, wow, what the fuck? It's so awesome. And then there's like dragons now and
giants,
trolls,
magic,
all kinds of magic. I don't know how to cast magic. I'm an idiot, but I haven't needed it yet because I'm playing on easy because I know how I am on RTS.
Gross.
Now.
Yeah,
same issue.
I'd be doing the same thing.
Same issue that I've been having with all Total War games. I don't feel like I'm participating that much.
You're supposed to be the overlord, and you're not supposed to be the participant.
Right. And so there's no... You make decisions, and you see them play out a minute later. 30 seconds to a minute later. It's not like you make a decision, and you cut a guy's leg off like it would be on a 1-1. This is like... I flanked the shit out of them. I can't wait to see my left field decimate their right lower flank. The gratification, it's a different thing. Eventually, you win the battle, but it's all delayed. It's like the first thing you get to do is set up what your setup is going to be. So armored dudes in the front or throwaway units in the front. Cavalry way off to the left, hiding in the bushes. Like, it's not, you surround your king, all that stuff, then you move in. I don't know. I'm playing it on easy, so I'm sure it gets far, far more intricate. But as far as watching, you're more watching it than playing it. Okay. And that's my complaint. Everything besides that is fantastic. Great production value. Great voice work. I'm playing as the orcs, and I feel like that's the main storyline. So I would imagine every single one of the races feels like that. So
okay.
I think it's great. It's a really good game. I'll probably play it as much as
XCOM 2.
XCOM 2.
I kind of actually want to play this. I haven't played any of the Total Wars, so it's on Team Tom's, I'm assuming, so maybe I'll download and give
I'm
it
at
a
Chad's go. Level in this one, and the only Warhammer game I've ever played was the MMO, which I did enjoy.
Oh, yeah, but, it was cool for like a month.
And
yeah.
I love RTSs. I actually feel like I naturally excel at them. It might be an Asian thing, but Warhammer is one that I rarely dabbled on. If I have actually played the Warhammer series, I would love to just go back and forth with you on that one.
Bobby, any interest?
A little bit. No. I've tried to get into the Total War games, and it's very difficult. This one, I'd be willing to give it a shot.
Chad, jump into Stellaris. I think you're really going to enjoy it.
Okay. I think I downloaded it.
Okay. So. I think you're really, really going to like it.
And this is one thing I want to bring up, since the Orc word was dropped so often.
Okay,
did anyone hear about the reviews on Warcraft? I know it's not quite released for us.
It's actually in our news.
Oh, really? Okay.
She's teasing it.
Coming up.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you can actually talk about it, though.
No, well, let's do... Why is this highlights and lowlights? I have way more things on there. Okay, never mind.
So, I found something out this week that I never knew about. This is specifically with mobile and specifically with Android. So, Chi, I'm going to have you turn your phone on because you have an Android.
Yes.
Did you tell her about this?
No, I haven't. We're going to do this together. Oh, so, I want you to go into
your... Two missed messages from my boyfriend.
I want you to go into your settings. Don't look at those yet. I want you to go into your settings and click the About Phone setting.
Okay.
And then one of the options there is the Android version. Do you see the Android version?
One moment here. Settings, About Phone. Okay. And I'm clicking on...
It says Android version. Do you see that?
Explosions, machine gun fire, fireworks.
It says...
I'm trying to lighten this thing up.
Hardware version, software version.
No, no. It says Android version.
Titties.
Yeah, keep going. So juice. When you find it, I want you to press it. Maybe 10 times in a row. Bobby, are you doing that?
Yep.
All right. So now it brings up this little lollipop thing, because this is Android version lollipop. So if you press and hold on the lollipop, or maybe you ought to press it a bunch of times.
Yeah, you press and hold.
You get like a game. Lollipop.
It's like a Flappy Bird.
It's a Flappy Bird game in your
Wait
Android.
A My HTC One does not have this.
What? Yeah, it does. It's got a...
No, it doesn't. You guys have Galaxy phones.
Cool. So
there's
an awesome thing. Let's move it on.
Wait, no. Right. Bobby's playing Flappy Bird over there.
On, so
Bobby.
You can play Flappy Bird
what
on your Android phone.
Flappy Bird. You don't hear.
But it's so
anymore.
Freaking hard, Bobby. Tell me, I've never gotten.
I can't get past the first thing.
I've only gotten past the first thing once.
I can't get past the
I
first.
I think my record right now is one. Is one.
Chad.
Yes.
You brought up this thing. Please explain.
Oh. Dirk McGurk brought this up on our Steam group, so if you haven't joined our Steam group, please do. It's DL Gaming is our Steam group, and join and talk and have fun with us. He says, please stop. I'm going to read word for word what he said. Great podcast, and I enjoy y'all's bickering, but please stop with the for sure and literally used every sentence. Sounds like Tranny Valley speak.
Wow.
Tiggle biddies out. First of all, I appreciate you guys listening.
That was a great comment.
Yeah, I appreciate. Sam is saying thank you. She agrees with you as well.
Yes. Who are the culprits?
I don't know.
Emilio,
I'm very new, so it can't.
I think it's all of us at different times. Well, we all talk like we're from California because we're all from California.
Yeah. Do I sound like a tranny?
You can definitely.
I don't know. Do you?
You can definitely.
All I can say if I do, my dick must be bigger than yours.
Yeah. But you do sometimes sound like a valley girl, just like.
Oh, of course.
The rest. You like to look at my tits.
I was born in the Midwest, but I swear I was meant to be a West Coast girl, and it took me a while to make it out here, but for sure.
So we appreciate, and I definitely understand. I've tried listening to things where I couldn't listen to a person, and so it turned me off of it. The thing is, I've tried to change what I say during my podcast, during the podcast, and it
makes
just,
it worse.
It just doesn't work for us.
Once you start, this is why I told Chad not even to bring this up on the podcast, is because once you start censoring yourself, you start second guessing yourself.
Yeah.
I used to be so paranoid about how drunk I get. Now I was fucking wasted 3 episodes ago. Like,
what
wasted.
Do you mean 3 episodes ago?
Well, this one I'm feeling pretty good. I can't even feel my lips right now. But 3 weeks ago, I ain't even like remember the end of the podcast. And
you were listening to the podcast like a listener.
I used to have Bobby like pull the episodes. I'd be like, no, we can't do that one. Now I don't give a shit. It's just like you can't please everyone. So the best thing you could do is put something out that you think you would enjoy and hope that everybody else. That's the only thing. There's too many people out there. We're starting to deal with hundreds upon hundreds of people. And so you're going to have so many different opinions. So the best thing we can do is do what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I do understand what he's saying, because a lot of times we say things and we use a lot of words and we don't realize. This game is fucking impossible, by the way. I'm going to stop doing this. I've been fucking with it for like 5 minutes here. There's a lot of words that we use and we don't even realize it until we listen to ourselves talk.
Yeah.
And I don't think for sure and literally are one of the one.
I didn't talk
much last episode. It may not have been me. I'll have to re-listen to it.
But well, I'm not sure if he's listening to a specific one or if he's just meaning it in general.
He could be way back, too.
He could be also. But we appreciate the feedback. Yeah. But for sure, in particular, you just said for sure.
No. I'm saying, I was saying that with quotations. For sure is kind of like a yes and.
Yeah.
So you'll use it a lot, like, because to keep a conversation going, you don't want to argue too much or rebut. Or sometimes you do. But in particular, you just want to keep going. So if Chad says, and the sky was purple, I'd be like, for sure. So moving on to, it's just a natural filler.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is one of those things.
Unfortunately, we just can't change how we talk. And
But we can, though. I mean, that's kind of the point I was getting at. If you work on it, you can change that.
Absolutely.
True.
Bobby's off the podcast.
Yep.
I'm done.
You know what? By the way, you acknowledge the feedback, and
I agree with him. We're not professionals.
I hear things all the time on podcasts. I'm like, oh my god, stop doing that!
Yeah.
Stop doing that, please, please, please stop!
Yeah, please. Yeah.
But they won't, because that's who they are.
Yeah,
and
if we were all professional announcers,
You're telling me that you're not.
We'd probably be very boring, first of all.
Yeah.
But we would sound very good. Yeah, so
basically, if you want titties, you're going to have to take the literally.
Literally.
You literally have to accept titties.
Yeah. So take it for what it is. We appreciate you listening, and we're not trying to lose anybody as a listener.
Sure.
But we just can't.
But Bobby's going to keep trying.
We're saying, please stay. Yeah. You're saying, please, please stop. And we're saying, please, please stay.
I would prefer you stay and listen to us.
I think if you make a conscious effort to improve your articulation, then you will improve.
I think if you make a conscious effort to govern your own speech, you will slowly talk and start to consider every word. Maybe eventually. But not next week.
Well, I've been trying to limit my ums. I've been trying to limit my ums for like a year. That's the one thing I've been working on. And as I say, damn it.
I went to speech impediment classes, so a lot of the weaknesses that I what you did?
I couldn't
what
say
for?
When I was growing up, I couldn't say R. So
same here.
So I would say like cow. Yeah.
Wait, cow?
Sounds like
there are no R's in the word cow.
A car. I was trying to say car, I would say like cow.
Cow. Oh.
I couldn't say car.
Me, it was more like, let's go through walks at the restaurant over there. I really like you.
That's a terrible story.
What? Obviously, you didn't get enough confessions from a girl who can, pronounce her R's.
Yeah.
I fixed that.
My really parents were so happy that I could speak English, they didn't even know.
Yeah, they barely touched Spanish because they wanted you to learn English.
Yeah, for sure. There we go. See? And now we bring it up, and now...
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop bringing it up.
For sure.
So, for our esports corner... I'm just teasing something because
there might be big things.
There might be big things for us coming up in the next couple weeks as far as it comes to esports. That's all I'm teasing this week. Hopefully next week we'll be able to announce something.
And don't think that we're going to start playing because we all know Chad is terrible. And you know what really sucks? I was thinking about when we're playing Overwatch together. We should all know our strengths and weaknesses, us three, and now Chi. We should all know our strength. We should be a really good team. We never do well on anything. Because I think one person always has been playing this forever, and then the other ones come in. We've never done well.
It sucks. We did...
Oh, Smite.
We did decently in Smite.
Yeah.
That could change if I incorporate some of my core gamers into the pool. I literally have shunned real life friends. Oh, so sorry.
You must be the literally one.
That's where that tranny valley talk comes up. I have shunned off real life friends and with zero, what did I say to you? Zero fucks or sorry, I'm not sorry.
Oh, yeah.
No apologies given.
No apologies. Zero apologies given. I have a real life friend who I've loved and adored, and I literally said, I can't play with you because you suck at this game, or something about playing with you makes me hate playing this game, so I'm not going to play with you anymore.
And good for you, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're not having fun with someone,
Bobby,
even though you
every time
might
we play
love going to yoga with them, doesn't mean that you love going to the capture point with them.
And I feel like that's a PC elitist type of mindset where I enjoy playing my PC games. I'm not going to bring you into my dungeon if you can't heal my party worth shit.
Boom.
You know?
Love it.
Or if you're not outputting a certain DPS level. When you get on my level of what I want to actually do with this game, then we can play together.
Yeah.
Otherwise, go sit at a different lunch table because I'm not sharing my carrots.
High five,
G. Right?
Yes. Thank you. That's why
I feel like you're talking
Chad.
About a certain... Oh, gosh. There you go.
Wow.
He's good
that
at Grim Dawn,
though. I'm at the point with Heroes of the Storm where I think I'm going to make a third account because I've just had a few experiences.
The Azrael account.
Yeah.
No, well,
it's going to happen.
You don't want to hurt feelings, so you're making
new accounts? It's not even so much that. It's just I actually do want to play with certain people. Not even just you guys.
No.
Certain people who shall remain nameless. No. There are other people, too, that I want to play with, but every time we play, it's not a good experience. It's not even that we don't win. It's a bad experience. And it was a lot better when I started that second account, but now that I built that second account up so much, it's the exact same problem again. So I'm just looking for an enjoyable experience that I can have with people who are newer to the game. And one thing I wanted to bring up with Overwatch that I totally forgot about, I feel like, maybe this is just me, but I feel like the communication is not necessary or not that important.
It's intuitive, that's why. I think you can see it on the screen. You don't need to say
we all
it.
Got on Skype when we played together and we hardly really talked to
each
other.
Well, you didn't talk.
No, I didn't talk very much, but then when other people did talk, it wasn't like when I play Heroes of the Storm and I'm on there, I've been playing a lot of Team League, and because you can get a mount before June 17th, I'm just trying to get an achievement on there, basically.
Chad, or Bobby, when we were doing the best, I was announcing everybody that I killed with a sniper. Is that valuable information? Because there's only six of them. If I say Winston down, Widow down, McCree down, I think that's pretty good, right? I'm not trying to gloat. I'm saying we have about 8 seconds of a window here.
Well, I think a lot of the communication in a game like that, if you look at Counter-Strike, I feel like a lot of the communication is about the map, location-based. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely how it is with Heroes of the Storm or any other MOBAs. You know, you're talking about lanes, possible ganks, whether people are in danger or not. And I don't really know the maps at all on Overwatch. So I couldn't really call out, what's a location in Counter-Strike mid or a banana or something like that.
Bombsite B.
Yeah, bombsite B. Like you say
oranges,
that, people know exactly.
Too.
Yeah, but with Overwatch, it's like...
Well, you don't need to because...
Get on the point. It's like, no shit, dude.
Yeah.
We're all trying to get on the point.
Everybody, there's only one spot that people are fighting over. And that's part of the thing that I think maybe Overwatch needs to work on is because there is no bomb site A and B. It's only the payload map or the capture spot. There's not multiple capture spots.
I don't even think it's that much of a criticism of the game. I don't know if communication is that important in that game.
It's a bonus of the game. The less you have to say, the more that's available with your eyes, the less you have to hear with your ears.
I know, but that...
I love communication. You really... Like, right, I've recently been playing Six Stacks with my little brother and his friends.
What's that?
I don't even know. Six Stacks. A stack is how many players you have in your team that are actually pre-grouped. I have a full team, and generally when you play stacked, you play against other teams that are stacked, and when you play against other stacked teams, there's a general knowledge. For instance, with my stacked team, we actually went 5 Reapers, 1 Lucio, and we rolled through that game because we were just trolling, and then we tried 5 Tracers and 1 Lucio, and it was just the experience of playing with 5 like-minded individuals who have played games together and understand each other's playability and how to communicate with one another. And as you had mentioned, as Widowmaker, you mentioned killing certain teammates. I feel like the counterpart of that is people would more likely want to announce that they killed a Widowmaker, a sniper, and or a Bastion versus any other just random mid-range hero.
Right.
And I think if a game doesn't force you to talk, I don't think the difficulty level is there. Because, like, the reason you talk in a MOBA is because you're going to get rolled if you don't communicate with each other. Whereas a game like this, if you're not talking to each other, you know, Counter-Strike, you'd have to talk to each other because you're going to lose if you don't. In this game...
It could go either way.
Do you not need to play together as a team? It's just 6 individuals playing? You know, is that the deal there?
One more thing.
Stack, I think communication is vital.
Yeah.
But when it's pub style, you know, where you go in and you don't know anybody, they're in the same position where who they're playing with, they're not stacked as well. So nobody's really communicating as much as probably your team is.
Yeah.
So welcome back to the Overwatch podcast.
Right.
I've got one more thing to talk about. So Chi comes in. I don't know Chi's level of skill. I didn't know Chi's level of skill. This is the masochistic part of me. I was trying to mansplain what was going on. I said, okay, you're going to play Hero 76. He has a sprint mechanic.
You had a really great explanation. Yeah, very helpful.
He also has a heal mechanic. And she goes, I pick up on things pretty quick. Play of the game. First game ever. Play of the game. Fucking top of the leaderboards on that first game. Like, she picked up like that.
Like, when I first picked up Overwatch, like I said, I'm a Valve junkie. I'm like, yo, this is TF2. All I have to do is, you know, like any other MOBA I've played, it's like every hero has their own perk. Roadhog, I never call him Roadhog whenever I'm playing. I'm like, Pudge, shit, Pudge got me, or I'm Pudge.
Get
Pudge.
It is Pudge.
Yeah.
Everything is on iterations of each other, and you've picked up on a lot of that throughout the year. So, you're going into it. But your Twitch, your aiming and all that is undeniable.
Awesome.
All right. Let's get in the news. So, last week and the week before, we talked about Mobius X1 because he was on our Patreon. He's like our third or fourth Patreon. And we sent him a t-shirt and all that. So we brought him up again. But this time is not because of that. He's putting together a GoFundMe he's in the military and he's a hardcore PC gamer. Obviously, he listens to us. And he has a fallen comrade. His sergeant actually passed away. So he's putting together a GoFundMe to build a gaming rig in his honor.
Oh, cool.
And give it to a veteran. A PC gaming veteran. So he's thinking around a $2,000 mark right now. And EVGA gave them a card on donation, but it was like he wants to make something legit. You know, like it was kind of like something that's probably been hanging out somewhere.
Okay.
You know? And all credit to EVGA. Like, thank you for doing that. But I think we're trying to put something elite together. Now, he has this GoFundMe. If you were to go to GoFundMe and just type in the search Memorial Gaming PC, it'll go right to, this is the only one that pops up. So that's how you find this. He's at, you know, he's had some donations, but he needs a hell of a lot more. Hopefully you guys will come together and help put this together. That's go to GoFundMe and type in Memorial Gaming PC, and that'll come up. It's a picture of a soldier. So, cool. So yeah, I think it's a valiant effort, and it's definitely something that we could all aspire to be like, you know. And if you don't have cash and you have some killer piece of hardware hitting around, hit him up. His name is Mobius X1 on Steam. So I'm sure he'd willingly accept hardware components as well.
Cool, cool.
That's awesome.
All right. So speaking of the dead, we're going into Dead Island 2, and it's gone.
Awkward segue.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. It was dead and dead. I'm sorry. And now it's died off Steam.
It's really strange because I remember seeing that trailer day one.
Killer trailer.
And it was set out in the West Coast, and I'm like, I totally get it. I'm really excited because I enjoyed the shit out of Dead Island 1, and especially with that score they had with the original trailer.
Yeah, really good. But now, the original trailer was a game changer.
This is news to me. This is news to me, and I'm disappointed.
Wait, who makes Dead Island? Bobby, can you help me
That's
out?
That's Tech Lab.
Deep Silver. Tech Lab developer, I believe Deep Silver published.
Yeah, so somebody was developing this, and then Techland tried to pick it up, and then I don't know what happened there.
Now
and then somebody else picked it up, and then
gone.
Now it's gone. So
don't hit the.
Honestly, if you did anything like what Left 4 Dead did with Left 4 Dead 2, where they didn't even change the game, they just made a second game out of modifications. With Dead Island 2, I'm pretty sure if you kept to the same usual concept and just up the graphics, then you would have an amazing game out of it, and especially the audience to make a profit out of it. It's very sad to me that they would completely just pull the plug on something like this.
I don't know. I'm not basing this on anything. I'm not saying that. I don't think they pulled the plug. I think that the level of development's very slow and low right now. It's like a tiny team working very hard, but it's probably going to be out in like 2 years or something. Okay. It's probably going to suck. But that's just me guessing.
Because of the time that they're going to put into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's sad to see that, especially for Bobby, since you like Dead Island more than any of us, I think.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that game. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking at the article here on PC Gamer, and it looks like there was a lot of trouble during development. It passed through several developers.
It's kind of crazy. I mean, Dead Island, wasn't that a successful game? Like,
I had so much fun with it.
How could they not make another game? I'm not sure.
In other news, Battleborn is 40% off already.
Trying to compete with Overwatch.
Of course.
I mean, it's like, and I believe it was LabMonkey who said, oh, I think it's so funny that Chad and Emilio think this is a good game. Wait till Overwatch comes out. And it's pretty much erased Battleborn. I mean, I want to play through the single player still.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, through the co-op still.
Yep.
Because it's so, you know, what is it called?
I don't know. What is it called? Fun?
The other thing that they made that's just like it.
Oh, Borderlands?
Yeah, Borderlands. Thank you, Chad, for filling in and agreeing with me finally.
Story-driven, comical.
Yeah. All that stuff. Mm-hmm. Great.
It's nothing like Borderlands. All right, No Man's Sky, delayed till August.
Yeah, so we saw this coming.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we have the cure for cancer. Oh, wait, no. No, not really.
I have no idea what No Man's Sky is.
I'll show you after this.
Okay.
Prepare your panties.
He's been on board this hype train for No Man's Sky for a long while now. So it keeps
aboard the train. I'm the fucking conductor.
Well, you haven't talked about it in a little while, so I thought maybe
it's because my expectations are dropping.
Yeah,
with every delay.
Yeah. All right. Warcraft.
Rotten Tomatoes score on Warcraft is 29%.
Which is abysmal for a movie on Rotten Tomatoes. But IMDb gave it an 8.2, which is fantastic.
That's very contrasting.
So, yeah, and Chad, was it this podcast that we did the biggest contrasts on between IMDb and... Or was that just a conversation between us?
I think
us?
It was just a conversation.
Oh, yeah. We definitely covered it. There's like four or five movies where there's a more 60-point difference.
Yeah.
Because if you take that 8.2 and you make it an 82, is basically what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
This is huge contrast. So the movie's not out yet.
It comes out in 2 weeks. I might be going to the premiere on next Monday.
You're so baller, son. Baller.
Yeah.
I know.
Dating somebody that works at Legendary. So.
And he's very accommodating. I'm going to fuck
her. But it's a double hit for me because I really wanted this movie to be good. You know, like I really, Warcraft, you know, this is the movie I've been waiting for forever. From what I'm reading, they just try to put too much into it, and they take themselves too seriously. So, you know, these Marvel movies that everybody's...
You're reading this from critics, though.
It's
and
true.
And I feel like critics are jaded.
And I heard the X-Men movie that just came out was not reviewed very highly. I just watched that this weekend. Yeah. I had a blast. That was
you watched
no
that?
Way. I almost went out to go see that.
It was probably my favorite. Yeah, it was probably my favorite X-Men movie that I saw.
Yeah, so don't hold the critics' word to that highly.
Thank you, Chad. Because yeah.
Bobby, in a quick summary, why don't video game movies do well?
Oh, I don't know. I can't answer that. You bowl. That's my answer.
I honestly think in video game story arcs are so big. Like, that's what I think happened here. They have the whole Warcraft lore. So they're trying to
make a trilogy.
They're trying to tell the whole story when really they should just take the world and just pick the one story they want to tell in that world. But this is Warcraft. The movie is not Warcraft, the story of Garona, or, you know, it's just Warcraft. And you're trying to tell, like,
a
huge story that takes place over millions of years in one movie. And, of course, it's going to be rapid pace, and nobody is going to know what's going on, and you got to know the story to even understand it.
Well, if you're a fan of the series, I think you're going to like this movie, right?
I should hope so.
So you're saying they should have gone the Game of Thrones route where they completely negate so much of the book in order to just appease the visual audience.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would hope they stay true to the Warcraft story, but I don't need to hear how the orcs got there, and I don't need to see the explosion that rips the continent in half, and I don't need to see, like, tell the one story you want to tell in that world.
Wait, the explosion that ripped it in half, that's like the third continent expansion or something, right? Isn't that Cataclysm? Okay, never mind. I don't care.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
But it's the opposite of Cloverfield and Cloverfield Lane. Like, that takes a grand story, but then focuses on one person or two people.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do to tell a story this big.
Well, the problem with Cloverfield is, though, you never saw the grand story. We've already been told the grand story.
Is that a problem, though? Like, I love the first one.
That's why I didn't like
it. Have you seen the second one?
No.
You're going to love it, dude.
We should have a podcast date for this movie.
For Warcraft?
Do you guys have podcast date anything where we all
Well, Chad's going to be at the premiere and we can't come.
I might be at the premiere hanging out with all the actors and actresses.
You're just too cool for us then.
Yeah, he said no scrubs hanging out your best friend's car trying to holler at him.
Yeah. This podcast has gone on for a while. Should we wrap this bitch up?
Well, is there going to be an interview between Chi and Chad at the end of this?
I'm not sure. Is there?
We can make it happen.
Okay, then yes.
Okay, so listen in for that. Anybody else have anything else? No. Bobby, please say something.
Move, Bobby. Please move.
Let's see. What am I going to be playing next week? A lot more Overwatch, Heroes of the Storm, and I'm going to finish Undertale.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Chad, we're all going to be playing Undertale.
We all are. In fact, let me announce, most likely Wednesday, we'll be doing a very long stream trying to complete that game in one sitting. So we'll see.
And tell them your Twitch stream.
My Twitch stream is Smoochie, twitch.tv. I'm sorry, twitch.tv/smooxchi. Smoochie, I've been on Twitch for 2 years, but ever so sparingly. So check me out. I'll be on there all day.
Cool.
So we're all going to be cramming in the tail and hoping or wishing we were playing Overwatch.
Yeah, we're going to be cramming
it in the tail end.
Cramming in the tail and wishing we were playing
That's
Overwatch.
That's us, Undertale.
Undertale. All right.
So speaking.
Yep.
For everyone here, including Chi, Chad, Bob, Sam, Emilio.
Motherfucking titties.
Hi, everyone. This is Chi, and I'm here with Chad, a.k.a. Flopsy of DLGaming.net. We're doing something very unique here. It is a 1A1 interview. I've already interviewed with Emilio and Mr. Hardware himself. But here I am with Chad, and we are in the same room, so it's a very unique interview. Yeah. I wonder how this will go.
This is cool.
So, hi, Chad, a.k.a. Flopsy. How are you doing tonight?
I am doing excellent. We just finished our podcast, so had a lot of fun.
Awesome.
How are you doing, Chi?
I'm doing great. I'm really happy to be doing this interview in person. I'll make it. Yeah. It's a very unique twist on it, but I'm excited.
But you don't have all your notes, so this will be a little more off the cuff.
Yeah, I'm really good at winging it, though, yeah. So and improvising. So, okay, so Chad, the first question I always ask is, you're also known as Flopsy.
Okay.
Why Flopsy?
Okay. That is actually a longer question than I imagine it was for the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
When I started at the when I started at the work that I still work at,
okay,
I don't tell people where I work, but I work in video games, in consoles specifically, which is weird because I only play PC games, but whatever. I was having to go into these different games to do testing and stuff.
Okay.
And at the time, they wanted us all the ways to use the same name for all the different games. So I needed to find a name that, and it had a lot of restrictions. There was a bunch of games that I needed to get a name for, but it had to be less than 8 characters because some games only had 8 characters.
Okay.
And it had to be available in every game. And so I tried a bunch of games. And at the time, I had kind of longer hair.
Okay.
And so the guys at work, you know, were making fun of my floppy hair.
Okay.
So I was trying to do a take on floppy because my hair was like, that was one of the things that people would talk about. But floppy was taken in some games. So I tried Flopsy, and Flopsy worked. So
is Flopsy a real word?
Well, Flopsy is from Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail, which is like a children's book. Like they're all rabbits, so Flopsy is one of the rabbits, but it has nothing to do with that. It just happened to have been to work. But now I can't, like, now I can't get games and be Flopsy because apparently Flopsy is popular with somebody, because like for my Steam handle, it's Flopsy with an asterisk after it because Flopsy was taken. Or other ones, I'll have to do like Flopsy with a you know, like, so Flopsy probably wasn't ideal either. Like, those really unique names are cool, but, like, at the time, you don't think of, oh, I got to have a really cool, unique name that I can do for everything.
Yeah.
You know, so Flopsy is what I'm stuck with.
If you could go with any other handle that was a surefire, unique name, what would it have been?
I always, like, you know, you watch a lot of esports, and there's guys that are, like, have just kind of, like, the weirdest names or whatever, and there's other ones that... It'll be like Kevin or something, and you're like, what the hell? I would just want a name that, like, that people could identify with, and then if they saw, if you happen to see somebody in another game, they knew it would be you because there was no chance that somebody else would have that name,
that handle. Right?
But I don't know. I can't think of anything right now. That's probably why I'm stuck with Flopsy.
Flopsy underscore Flopsy asterisk Flopsy.
But I would do a lot. I like to do takes on Flopsy.
Yeah.
So you know, like Floptimus Prime, I would use sometimes.
Oh,
you know, like
okay.
I like to like mess around with it depending on the game.
Okay.
So.
That makes sense.
If you see takes of Flopsy, that's probably me.
Yeah, I've actually been infamous for perpetually changing my handle and or just leaving it simple. I, for a long time, just used my real name, Chi.
Yeah.
And me discovering Smoochie was a amazing because yeah. it was cute. It represents my personality. For but sure. I had to throw in that silent X.
Because it was taken, right?
Because it was always taken. Yeah. And so it's the perfect variation that nobody else would ever think of or come yeah. across. And if it's that perfect opportunity to Google the name and only have relative... Yeah. Things pertain to my username. So, unfortunately, Flopsy, and I'm just thinking limp dicks yeah. and Google images.
I know, yes.
or yeah. bunnies and limp dicks.
Do people like try to pronounce the X when they talk? Like,
actually, yeah.
Smooks.
I get smooks. Smooks.
Yeah.
And I'm okay. like, just call me Chi. That's my real name. Yeah. Or Smooch. Or smooks. Actually, guys, I feel like smooch is a taboo word. It's too cute for them to pronounce, so they will actually say smooks.
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 Okay.
Which is perfectly fine. I'll respond to either or. No preference. It's just as long as it's original.
Cool.
So, all right. So that's awesome. So we got to know a little bit behind the name, but what about your gamer history, your gamer cred? When did you become
okay.
a gamer?
So I've got an older brother. He's 2 years older than me, and, cool. and him and I, you know, we're obviously best friends growing up. And
likewise,
When the Nintendo craze happened, we of course wanted it
Duck to Hunt, to Mario.
Get, yeah, we wanted okay. a Nintendo. But my parents said, "Yeah, you can get one. You know, just find the money, and you can have it." You know,
so you had to work for your Nintendo.
So we weren't the first ones on our block to get it. Mm-hmm. You know, we eventually were able to get it. But we had a lot of friends that were into Nintendo, and so, you know, that's when it started. But PC gaming started coming around for us. I remember being really little when my dad brought home a PC, and I hadn't seen a PC before. Like, so
do you remember what it was?
I don't remember what it was. All I remember is playing this game where you played as this little stick figure guy, and he had one arrow. And you were in caverns, so it was one cave.
Interesting.
But it was just like a circle represented a room in a cave.
Wow.
And you couldn't go in the room with the monster, but you didn't know which room the monster was in. So you had to take clues on where the monster was in, but you only had one arrow, so you had to shoot the monster from the next room over. I don't know.
It sounds like a very Pong PC game.
Yeah, it was way back in the day. It was probably 30 years ago or so.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and then my brother and I, of course, got into games and into PC games. And one of the games that XCOM, the original XCOM, was pretty much the game that was like, okay, I now love PC games.
What year was that?
I don't remember XCOM. when XCOM. I think I was probably like 11 or 12, something like
wow,
that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was around the age in my generation. Not that far behind you that I said
yeah.
PC was yeah. my choice gaming rig. Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and, you know, back then, the difference between a gaming PC and a regular PC wasn't
there
very...
There was none.
Yeah, there was none.
There was none.
So my dad wasn't getting like the newest computers, but I didn't need the newest computers, you know, mm-hmm. like pretty much if you had a computer, you could play your games.
Yeah.
And then, so when that whole started coming around with graphics cards and all these other stuff, I had started to get to the age where I could, you know, make conscious decisions on whether or not I wanted to buy stuff and all. So naturally I just flowed into it. Into PC gaming and, you know,
awesome.
I've been PC gaming ever since.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
So, in high school or let's say in the age of once you became a PC gamer, how affluent was PC gaming in other aspects of your life?
So I've always like prided myself on being pretty diverse. You know, I loved gaming, but I also played sports in high school and,
okay.
You know, I like to take pictures and I thought about doing photography as something for a career. And yeah, I went to college and ended up getting a business degree. Like
nice.
I feel like I have little bits of everything. So, the downside is I never really focused on one thing to the infinite level. So I was always a gamer and I always liked PC gaming,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't I didn't mind, you know, like playing something else. Or and I didn't always have the most the best setup. I was okay. happy playing games that were a year old or whatever. Like I wanted okay. to play games, but I wasn't so hooked on. I didn't need the newest stuff, so I could play the game immediately as it came out. But okay. as I got older and I started getting to know more things, and I started to make choices about what I really wanted to spend my money on, okay. PC gaming just was kind of one of the things that it just always seemed to fall on.
Awesome.
So,
all right. So when did you kind of wean off of the console world and stick strictly to PC?
I would probably in college, because when I got to college, I brought okay. my PC, but I didn't bring a console.
Okay. What console was that? What generation were we in?
That was probably the Nintendo 64. I got to college in 97.
Okay.
So that was like the N64 starting with the PlayStation 1 was probably right
Ooh,
around there.
Great console yeah. years, by the way.
Yeah. So I was playing more PC games, but when I started moving into a house, there was like four guys. We would have a PlayStation 1 and we would play like Crash Team Racing
okay.
or something like that.
So there was always a console presence, you would say.
Yeah. And then I got out of college and I happened to join a company that made consoles. So I have the consoles from that company mm-hmm. around, and I enjoy them, but usually I'll have, like, for example, I have Dark Souls 3 right now on my console, mm-hmm. but I have no interest in playing it because I want to play it on the PC.
So you haven't touched Dark Souls 3?
Yeah, because I want to play it on the computer.
It's funny because I play Dark Souls 3 on the PC and I use a controller in order to yeah. play it. So I would almost actually recommend that you play it on your PS4 yeah. versus playing on the PC yeah. because to me, Dark Souls, especially it stemming originally as a console game,
yeah.
I would say enjoy it on the console. Me, I just don't own a current generation console.
Yeah.
So that's why Dark Souls 3 I played on PC. But if I had otherwise received, like own a console, I would definitely just sit back on a couch and play it on a big screen.
Yeah.
So
I mean there's aspects, and now we got a Steam Link also, so
we can do
couch stuff even on our Steam stuff, on our Steam game. So I don't know, I just PC's gaming is where I gravitated
it's to. Where you're most comfortable.
And it's also like I don't play a lot of shooters, and I feel uh-huh. like a console is basically a shooter box to me a lot of times, and so like if I want to play an RTS or if I want to play a really good RPG or something, I tend yeah. to just want to play on a PC.
Okay. And I don't blame you because we're all PC elitists
yeah.
here.
Yeah. yeah
myself. For sure. But yeah, definitely myself included. So when did you really realize, hey, this PC is awesome because I'm addicted to this one game. This game made PC gaming for me. What game was that or what period was that?
Well, like I said, XCOM is probably listed as my favorite game of all time, and it's wow. probably the game that got me hooked on consoles. But one of the other games, one of the even earlier than XCOM was another game. I believe it was earlier than XCOM was another game called Mind the Titan, which was an RPG game, which I had never really played those before.
Uh huh.
And my brother and I would be sitting there, and you know, it didn't matter who was controlling the game because yeah. The two of us were just like, we were acting as one person. So it didn't yeah. really matter who was driving. We were just,
were you working off the same save?
Oh yeah. Like we would go and play the game together. Like there was only one save. It yeah. was just the game that we were playing. So that game was really big. And there was another one that I'm trying to remember what it was called. I think it was called Planet's Edge, which okay. is another one. And I think I've brought it up on previous podcasts, but both of those games, back then, you bought a box and it had like 10 floppy disks in it.
Yeah,
And it had a big manual with full color and everything. But this Planet's
Discs.
Floppy disks. This had this big star map, and yeah, you mm-hmm. had this ship that you were going to different planets. But they didn't have the map in game. If you wanted to know where you were, you'd have to look at this map, this physical map.
Yeah.
And it was so cool. There were like missing stars there, so we'd be drawing our own stars if it was missing there.
That's cool.
And so one guy would have the map, and we'd be wondering you know, he'd be directing us, and we had to collect resources. So we were writing down on the map, and mine's a Titan.
Uh-huh.
They gave you this packet, and it says, do not open until told to in the game. And,
oh, wow.
And we really wanted to open it. You know, we were, you know, the younger kids who don't do well at delayed gratification, but we were really good. We didn't open it until
it
said in the game. And, it, you know, there's like there's like a twister or something in the game. And it you get to learn all this stuff. So it was, you know, back then, like, it was cool to get these, like, packages with all sorts of cool stuff.
So beyond just the virtual interaction,
yeah.
You really felt like you were getting something out of in real life contribution. I was really big on strategy guides for that reason,
too. For sure.
I would do my research beforehand. I would write down notes. Yeah. Surprisingly enough, the game that I played was Harvest Moon for that. It's like, Cliff likes, you know, green herbs, but hates red herbs. So I better
have to write them all down. Yeah.
So I would have this, like, journal of how to please my virtual gamer boys, gamer fuck boys. And it was just so funny, and I get it because I would have in real life journal for my virtual game. You mentioned playing with your brother. I'm interested, is he still gaming now to this day? Like, so, how involved are you two together in gaming?
He is married and has two kids, so he doesn't have a whole lot of time to game.
Would he still consider himself a gamer because of that?
I would say yes, but he is pretty much consoles. He is a graphic designer, so he only has Macs pretty much throughout the house.
Of course, okay.
So he doesn't have a gaming rig to be able to do it. So he only does consoles, and his kids, of course, are like big into the Minecrafts and all that stuff, you know. And so he's
turned into a dirty casual.
Yeah, he definitely is. He was always nerdy, but he was never a gamer nerd. He was he was more like the art nerd.
So if you could, out of all the different terminologies out there for different types of gamers, how would you tag yourself as a gamer now, other than PC gamer? What type of gamer would you call yourself?
Honestly, I hate to say this, but because of the podcast, I can't get deep into games right now. Like, as soon as I get into a game, next week rolls around and I can't talk about that game anymore and have to have new things. Like, right now, I've played 2 hours of Overwatch maybe since the release.
Oh, wow.
Because
and that's barely enough, in my opinion, to get. I was 2 hours in and still just learning how to move my, move my characters.
But, like, you know, we got to play Undertale. That's going to happen this week. And, you know, I've said I got to get into Counter-Strike Go, and Paladins was brought up this week on our what games do they want us to play. And so, honestly, I feel very casual. I play a lot of games, and I spend a lot of time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't get deep in a game. Like, I remember back in the day, I was big into WoW, and I would put 30 hours a week into just that one game. I can't put 30 hours a week into gaming right now, you know, because it's just too much stuff right now. So honestly, right now I just feel, it's sad, but I just feel very casual. I feel like I play three hours of gaming, and that's it for the day. And honestly, I've been playing a lot of mobile games just because of how my time's been had to happen.
Yeah.
So I feel even worse because it's mobile gaming.
I actually do not have, and true story, I do not have one single mobile game installed in my phone.
I fought it for the longest time, and I don't know. It's slowly been creeping more into my life, and now with this Galaxy of Heroes, I've just been playing it a bunch.
Okay.
But I feel kind of dirty every time I play it.
That's the beauty of gaming, though. Like, I remember, I think I was watching some documentary and they said 99% of boys play video games because it's so versatile.
Yeah.
Whether it's console gaming, PC gaming, mobile gaming, it's so common that gaming is integrated into your lifestyle no matter yeah. what you're doing, whether you're a father, whether you're single, or and no matter how much or how little time, it seems like you can always fit gaming in your life. And
for sure.
it's flexible enough to where if you do commit yourself to a title, you know, it's I feel like the options are endless in terms of what you're looking to get out of gaming.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
if you know, from the outside looking at, well, from listening to you, it sounds like you play video games like a reviewer would, you know, you
yeah.
would dabble on
I
into
really
something
do, yeah.
to get a good enough impression and then on to the next
yeah.
one.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I'll be wanting to play a game,
mm-hmm.
but I, you know, I need to play this so I can talk about it, or
yeah.
I need to do that, or, you know, like, so a lot of times what I want and what I want takes a back step to what I need to do.
Oh, I see.
But I mean, that sounds like a complaint, but that's not a complaint at all. Like, I love doing the podcast, and
that's how I feel with gaming in general.
Yeah.
Right? We're adults, so it's tough. It's
yeah.
really tough.
Can't be for sure. But then again, we can afford the games we want to afford.
That's
for
true.
The most part.
That's true too. But we can't afford the time.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's a catch 22.
Yeah.
But let's. What was the most recent game that you actually played through and beat because you were so enthralled by it?
Actually, just recently, maybe we talked about this 2 weeks ago or
so. Maybe
Emilio and I beat Grim Dawn, and we've been trying for like a year to
yeah,
beat
Grim Dawn. Yeah, I remember that.
So that probably is the most recent game I've gotten all the way through. And obviously, games like Overwatch or something, there's no end.
Yeah,
a mm-hmm. lot of these are multiplayer games. There's no end.
How about the games that you have beaten in the past? Like, which games in the past have you said, I played this game thoroughly and know it front to back and am a true fan and would recommend it for anyone else?
Whew, that's going to have to go pretty far back. We've been doing this podcast for almost
right?
for 2.5 years, so it would probably have to be before that. I mean, like I said, you know, WoW was my addiction for like 3 years straight. So
how bad was that addiction?
It was bad. I, you know, I was in a raiding guild. Then I was an officer in a raiding guild. And then I was a co-leader of a raiding guild.
Oh man.
You know, I was around when raids needed 40 people.
Wow.
And you know, you had to go
you
through
said
that.
Enough, right?
Yeah. So like,
I was a molten core officer.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I was the shaman
That's all
officer.
You have to say.
Yeah,
I get it.
For molten core. But yeah, back then, man, that was crazy. And you really had to dedicate
uh-huh.
like every day after work I would be on my game playing WoW, and you had to.
Right.
You know, we were trying to do raid progression through, and just a whole lot of work and people yelling, and also that game more than any other game, you know, consumed my life.
Mm-hmm. Do you regret that addiction?
No, not at all.
Wow.
I don't regret any gaming experience I ever
really?
Did.
Really?
Yeah, I think gaming provides such an outlet to, you know, so many different emotional stuff that...
Wow, true.
That we can't always get naturally. Mm-hmm. That... I have more regrets for all the TV watching than I do for any of the gaming that I
That's
do.
That's a very good point. I never really realized it up until you just expressed it verbally how emotionally therapeutic gaming
yeah,
can be, because
it is.
Especially in the social hemisphere, and even more so in RPGs, because I was a big RPG gamer
yeah.
As well. And that's so very true. There are so many elements that you can test your social and or emotional state through virtual reality than you can
yeah.
in the real life setting. And wow.
I think...
Eye-opener.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people play games because they're fun, but
mm-hmm.
then they don't realize all these things that also contribute to why they enjoy games. Like... fun is one thing,
uh-huh.
but at the same time, like, you could have a shitty day and then you get on WoW and you hear that level ding
uh-huh.
and you're like, like I accomplished something today.
Right?
Even if I didn't accomplish anything in my real life, I accomplished something today in my game.
Exactly.
You know, like, or, you know, I think we come from animals. Mm-hmm. I happen to believe in evolution. And I think there's that drive inside of us, that animalistic mm-hmm. nature that we, you know, so downplay in our social life, like mm-hmm. this competitive instinct that
of
we
course.
Have
uh-huh.
and gaming so easily can just tap into that.
Absolutely.
And I, you know, I think that's why a lot of people play games, and especially those multiplayer games, is uh-huh. because we have this drive to compete.
That gratification.
And how do you compete? You either compete at work
mm-hmm.
or you compete at play. And one of the best ways that we have found to do that is by gaming. You know, you can
absolutely.
Be gaming in your 80s and still have that competitive, you
edge.
Know, you can't play football
yeah.
or whatever
that's so
at
true.
That point. So
I love that. I love that the interview came around this conversation because it really, especially for PC gaming, especially like,
yeah.
I feel like the more competitive of drives are found in PC gaming.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I can say is extremely like-minded of most PC individuals. It's almost like when somebody asks me, oh, what games are you into? They go, oh, what console do you play?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, console, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Console, please.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
exactly.
I am on that PC level. And then all of a sudden they're like, you know, they do this like little like, oh, you're one of those.
Yeah.
It's almost, and I can truly say I've had those moments, and I am actually enduring those moments right now where I'm extra stressed. I am angry at something.
Yeah.
And it's most likely because I'm not getting that release that I normally have. Through video gaming.
Yeah.
I feel like video gaming is it's, you know, I use the word therapeutic. It is a form of therapy.
Yeah, for sure.
For a lot of people.
Especially
awesome.
Like if you're used to playing it, like, and you're getting that satisfaction from playing it and then mm-hmm. you stop, it can be jarring a little bit.
It's almost like withdrawals.
Yeah.
Gaming withdrawals.
Exactly.
So has there ever been a time in your life that you stopped gaming, and what happened?
During college, you know, when you start getting into college in the later years of college, when the things really start getting tough, I stopped playing games for a while
mm-hmm.
just because I needed to make sure my life was going the way I wanted my life to
of
go.
Course. Mm-hmm.
But other than that, no, like I've always either had a console or a PC gaming
okay.
machine that I could do. And you know, like I said, I don't always play the newest games, but I'm almost always playing something.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. And I'm glad, like you, like me, and like anybody that most likely is tuning in, you know, gaming is a true aspect of our lives. And now more so, we can almost say it's a part of our personality, being
yeah.
a gamer.
And it's cool. Like doing this podcast, I've gotten the opportunity to like talk with people, and nobody ever has the same story, but they always have that same theme where it's like they have a life,
mm-hmm.
but yet they dedicate some of their time to PC. And the people that are listening to our podcast, you know, aren't the ones that are just casually playing PC games. They're
yeah.
usually the ones that are probably playing it pretty hardcore. But you know, we talk to dads, and we talk to, you know,
mm-hmm.
all sorts of people that traditionally you wouldn't think would be hardcore gamers, but
yeah.
but they are, you know.
Yeah.
And so I always thought that it's opened my eyes a little bit. Like I have this idea in my head of what a gamer is,
yeah,
and then you start talking to people and you're like, oh wait, there's so many more people that play games than you realize.
Yeah. And I can say too, like through this conversation, it helps me bring myself to the realization that gaming as a part of my life, it's almost like a social home.
Yeah.
And, or outside of social, even it's a piece of yourself that you will always carry with you regardless of whatever,
yeah.
you know, wherever you are and whatever you're doing in your
yeah.
real life. It's that familiarity. And then it's almost like once you create that home base, it sticks with you, and you can carry
yeah.
it with you throughout whatever.
For sure.
So that's awesome. I'm really glad the interview branched out into that, because I think it really goes more in depth into what gaming is beyond just knowing what's hot, what's new, and
yep.
you know how one game is one-upping anything else previously before.
Yeah.
So other than that, let's go on to more basic questions, I suppose.
Okay.
With gaming, all in all, you know, what would you say your strengths and weaknesses are in gaming? Do you have them?
Okay. So we joke on the podcast about me being the worst one, and I suppose it's true, but I feel like we're all decent, and I feel like
if you play it enough, right?
Yeah, if you play it enough. I'm not my weakness would be anything Twitch related. Like
really?
Yeah. That's why I'm so bad at shooters is because
reaction time.
The reaction times.
Okay.
Especially now that I'm getting every year I'm slowing down apparently. But I do really well in puzzle aspects. Like anything that that has observing, calculating, figuring out, I do really well at that. And I'm a really fast reader also.
Oh.
So like I would read all the quests for WoW and everything like that. Like
you would actually read all
because
the lore, so you understand the lore behind most games. It's very rare, in my opinion.
I read if it's on screen. I'll read it. You know, it's one of those things. So
you go even a deeper level than most people. As for me, you know, my purpose in those kind of games are make it to end game. Who cares about the story? I just want to be the most powerful. And the lore plays such a huge backhand. In fact, it's almost there to just slow me down.
Yeah, exactly. You play just like Emilio then. Because
Mm-hmm.
He would, you know, click on a quest giver, say a click accept,
next,
and then
next,
like try to find like, where to
do summary?
It. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And I would be like,
how many candles do I need to take?
Yeah, I would be like, why are we taking these candles and what's going on here? So he probably got frustrated playing WoW with me, just like I did. Like, what? Stop running away!
That's awesome. That's really cool. Okay, so that's definitely a strength and a weakness there. So right now, what kind of games are you having the most fun out of? Is it
So I love MOBAs.
Okay.
And I like the whole aspect of the reason I like MOBAs so much is because it's a microcosm of PvE and PvP and choices in buying and choices of where you're supposed to be at.
Oh, yeah.
And teamwork. Like to me it feels like it brings together every aspect of PC gaming
and skill
obviously.
MOBAs honestly have in my opinion have never challenged your level of awareness more than any other type of game.
Agreed. That being said, I just don't have time to get into a MOBA hardcore. Mm-hmm. So I watch a lot of esports.
Oh, so you're the esports guy.
Yeah, I watch a lot of esports because I'll like put it on when I'm at work. I'll put it in the background with the headphones on and listening. And if the cheer goes up or whatever, the crowd, you know, all the noise is going on, I'll flip back and watch
Rewind.
What's going on. And yeah. So when I'm not gaming, I'm usually watching esports of MOBAs, but I don't really play MOBAs a whole lot.
Okay.
So right now, like, and I like FPSs, but they never hold my, like, Overwatch, I'm probably going to get bored with that, you know, after 10 hours or something.
Okay.
Like, FPSs just don't seem to hold my attention.
Okay.
So, like, I like to, like, kind of do a whole lot of different games.
Mm-hmm.
So Grim Dawn I'm still kind of hooked on, even though we've already beaten it, and I was surprised with that. Fallout 4, I played all the way through.
It's so hard to
which is surprising because I never played any Fallout 4 any Fallout series so
previously before
no.
Fallout? Wow.
So that one was surprisingly addictive for me.
I don't blame you though.
No, it was
Fallout
an awesome game.
Uh-huh.
It was an awesome game. And I'm not really looking, there's no real game that's coming out that I'm like, I can't wait to see this one.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been having fun, you know, trying out bits and pieces of ones and seeing what sticks and what doesn't. Honestly, if I had to pick one genre, it would be MMO.
Okay.
MMO is my favorite style of game, but I have yet to find that one that hooked me like WoW did. So
I feel like that's everybody's general.
So I've already pre-ordered Legion. So when that one rolls around, okay, I'm going to get back into WoW and see how long it holds me. Obviously, MMOs take so much time that it's really hard, especially right now for me. But I'm going to really see how that one goes. So that's kind of, if I had to say I'm looking forward to one thing this year, it's probably going to be Legion.
It's awesome.
But, yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned, I'm actually kind of surprised by how much you play watch esports. I apologize. Yeah. So Bobby has has coined the term Mr. Hardware.
Okay.
How about you and Amelia? What would you guys be? Are you Mr. Esports?
I guess if I had to, although Bobby watches a lot of esports, but he only watches Heroes of the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
I watch League of Legends and Dota, and I'm trying to get into Counter-Strike as well.
Okay.
Which is a little, so I like to see the top down. I like to be the spectator and be able to see all the moving pieces.
Okay.
And with Counter-Strike, they go a lot of first person when they're doing streams of mm-hmm. Counter-Strike.
That's so, how you learn to get better.
I want to watch like a sporting event.
Oh, okay.
So but they're doing better on coming out and showing like top down and seeing where people are. So it's kind of cool to see the strategies there. I guess esports would kind of be my jam.
Okay. What would you say Emilio's jam is?
He likes roguelikes. So he does a lot of two-player stuff because him and his girl play a lot.
Okay.
So
he's the co-op man?
He probably would be the closest one to our co-op.
The multiplayer
guy.
Man.
Yeah, multiplayer, yeah.
Okay, I could see that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So speaking of
how
the
about
podcast,
you?
Me?
What would you be?
I would be...
You're our first-person shooter girl.
Yes, and yes, definitely. When people ask me what kind of gamer I am, outside of saying PC gamer, like, oh, what kind of PC games? I call myself a Valve junkie.
Okay.
So any Valve-developed title, I generally will play very thoroughly.
Yeah.
And the community that I am completely codependent on are my core gamers.
Yeah.
I experience games through what my friends are gaming.
Yep.
And I generally will hold interest in a game based on their interest.
Yeah.
So Overwatch, I will not lie. I was sold on Overwatch, not just through the podcast, but mostly from my little brother, who was completely obsessed, would not stop watching videos, couldn't stop talking about it, even got him that Overwatch survival kit for his birthday.
Yeah.
And I thrive on games that those that I love and adore
gotcha.
So it's one of those things
unless
where,
they suck at it, then you say
oh yeah
it.
Oh no, I don't deal with plaids. Yeah. I don't deal with scrubs. I'm such a princess. I'm like, carry me, you're great at this game.
Yeah.
It's better than having to buy me a steak and lobster meal. Yeah. All you have to do is carry me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the same way. I love getting carried.
So it's one of those things. I do appreciate those who play video games very well, and I know the level of the time invested that it takes to get there. So I love being challenged. So that's why I like FPSs.
Yeah.
But no, thank you for asking me a question back. Yeah. Normally that's my job during the interview. So I know with the podcast from the interviews, what I found out is that this was originally Emilio's and Bobby's gig. When did Flopsy and how did Chad come into the picture?
Okay. So from what I've gathered from them is that they were gaming on Skype and talking and having a good time.
Uh-huh.
And I think they were also listening to the PC Gamer podcast or whatever. They stopped doing their podcast and they were lamenting over the fact that there wasn't any good PC gaming podcast to do.
Right.
And so they kind of said, okay, we're going to do one. So they started doing one, but they were having some problems because they were trying to look stuff up, but with only two people, if somebody's looking something up, then it just becomes one person trying to talk to themselves, right?
Okay.
So they asked if I could help them out by being like the producer.
Oh,
so
okay. I remember this.
I was going to be there, types look stuff up when they needed something. So the first episode I was on, I use quote air quotes for on. I probably said five things, and it was more like it was so obvious. I had to say something. It was, you know, like it was that I was trying to be quiet, but I interjected a couple times, and then the next time I was on, I just talked more.
Okay.
And they're like, this works kind of good with three of us. You know, three people is a much easier way to conversate. You don't want dead air in a podcast. So,
of course.
Then they're like, hey, you want to just make this a regular thing? And I honestly, when they said that they were doing a podcast, I was like, man, that sounds like fun. I want to do that.
Of course.
But I wasn't going to try to push my way into it. Like this was their thing and I was going to let them do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to actually do it with them, but you know, they didn't really ask me and I didn't want to ask. So, it worked out in the end, that we all ended up on it. So,
yeah. And now it's funny how you switch roles. You and Emilio are the main voices whereas Bobby is the guy behind the scenes.
It's funny because like when Bobby's passionate about something, he will really like want to talk about it. But if he's not passionate about it, like he would be happy not
he
talking.
He lets you be the girl on top.
Yeah,
we definitely. Yeah. I saw that with the virtual reality, how he just absorbs it.
Yeah.
And it's more so internal processing. And I see how both you and Emilio need to verbally express it and bounce off each other. So I think it's a very good, I don't know how to say it, but
dynamic.
Boom. That's it.
Yeah.
And, thank you so much for letting me participate.
It's been a blast.
So since you came into the podcast a little bit later, how happy are you to, you know, in terms of when you started and where you are at now with the podcast, like what is the podcast to you now?
I honestly, if you go back and listen to us 2 years ago, it honestly is night and day. Like we were so bad, and not to say we're any good now, because I don't think that's the case, but we didn't know what we were doing. Mm-hmm. It was really a learning on the job sort of thing. And so we made a lot of mistakes and are still making mistakes, but hopefully not the same ones. Now it's like, I look forward to the podcast, doing the podcast each week. And we don't always have the best podcasts that come out, but there's always those little bits in the podcast that are funny or insightful. And I feel like people aren't wasting their time anymore listening to us.
Right?
And I felt there at the beginning that for a while there that I was like, are people actually listening to us?
Because
you know, I wouldn't listen to us.
Oh,
but
my
now,
goodness.
And I don't listen to our podcast very often because I hate my voice and I get very cringy every time I hear myself.
Okay.
But now,
understandable. A lot of people are like that.
Now I can at least only be cringy about my voice and not what we're talking about or what we are.
So the content and the context of what you're saying has improved. So that's awesome. No, that's good to hear. And I feel like as long as there's growth in whatever you're doing, then it's worth doing.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I think we got a long ways to go. It's funny. I meant to bring this up on the podcast, but I listened to the PC Gamer podcast this week for the first time.
You guys have compared our podcast or your podcast. I still feel like I have to call it your podcast.
No, ours.
To PC gaming so many times now. It's almost,
well, because I feel like as a PC gamer,
mm-hmm.
one of the first podcasts you'd naturally gravitate to would be the PC Gamer podcast.
Right?
Like, they're one of the biggest ones that are solely PC.
Uh-huh.
Like everybody else, IGN and all these other ones, Kotaku, they cover PC gaming, but that's not all they cover. Versus the PC. So it's just natural to kind of compare and contrast. So I listened to it for the first time this week, and I was like, wow, we're pretty similar to these guys. Like,
awesome.
like we're not, cause you always have in your head, like these are pros and this is what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of nice to see like, oh, okay. So we're not out of the ballpark compared to these guys.
That's great.
We talk, although they don't interrupt each other like we do all the time.
Okay.
We're really bad at interrupting. All of us are. Bobby can't get two words in wise because Emilio or I are talking over him. So we got ways to go, but I feel like it's a lot of fun.
I mean, just based on you were just saying from 2 years, it's day and night. Yeah. And then maybe, you know, a short-lived 6 months or 1 year, you could go a long way from that. And plus, you're implementing so many new things.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to.
With implementing new things, the biggest one probably being me, there are adjustments to that. So I completely understand that. That's really awesome. And knowing a little bit more about the history of DLGaming.net and all that goodness, that's great.
I think they did like 10 episodes or so that I wasn't involved with, but you'll notice DL Gaming is short for Digital Logic,
which does not include Flopsy
or Chi.
No, I'm so new in the game, so
I don't know if you noticed, but I tend to just always call it DL or DL Gaming. I rarely say Digital Logic because obviously
don't want to disclude yourself.
Yeah, I'm not part of the digital or the logic. So
were you in it? So if you could, I asked both Bobby and Emilio this, if you could change the DLGaming.net name to anything else, what would it be?
I'd probably put a funny spin on it.
Okay.
Like, you know, the pleb gaming podcast, or like, you know, like just something that, because Digital Logic seems like they're trying to take themselves so seriously, you know, the Digital Logic. So I'd probably do like something funny.
Yeah.
But I don't know what.
Something to downplay it.
Something to like, because we're a pretty lighthearted podcast.
We really are. And I appreciate that about you guys so much. I coming onto the podcast, I just always feel comfortable first and foremost, and it allows me to, whether I'm listening and or talking, it's a great atmosphere, and hopefully the listeners pick up on that.
Yeah.
You know,
I hope so.
It's really truly just, you know, one couch, four people. Is it four? Four or five?
Yeah.
And microphones just recording a great conversation between like-minded individuals.
And that's what we hope. We hope that it's like a conversation that our listeners can listen and hopefully participate with us in, you know. We're unprofessional on purpose, you know. Like, we could spend time and, you know, do more things to prep, but then it becomes not a conversation, it becomes just set pieces and all. So we like keeping it loose and having fun, and Emilio likes talking about titties and all. Which Bobby,
I don't think
Bobby would like that.
I'm pretty sure we would probably get more listeners if Emilio talked in that deep, you know, sultry radio voice throughout the entire thing.
Don't encourage him. He's going to start doing impersonations and all, and then it gets really cheesy.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So, just going through the stages of change and progression and growth. I know this is one of the bigger viewership weeks and or months that you guys have had.
Yeah.
You know, with things continually going up, what are some goals that you're setting and you see yourself accomplishing with the podcast?
So I really want us, and Emilio's been trying to do this for months. I really want to get on Twitch, and I want to stream our podcast on Twitch and let people watch while we're doing it also, and raise questions and stuff, which they did on the PC Gamer podcast, which was cool. But I would love a dialogue with our listeners give them a forum to respond immediately and impact the podcast. I would love to do that.
That'd be very interesting.
Yeah. Hopefully we can do that soon.
Okay.
And then, you know, as we continue to grow, we're kind of like reaching out in a bunch of different ways to see what other ways we want to go with the DL brand and all. So, we've got potentially some things coming up, but honestly, the really big one for me is that Twitch stream and getting the podcast on the Twitch stream.
Let's do it.
Yeah. We're going to have to like find a time, because it's important for us that the time is the same every week. Mm-hmm. So finding the time, and four people is all, it's can get complicated to try to get everybody on board.
No, trust me, I'm just my own person, and I am not the best Twitch streamer. I would say my streams are very entertaining.
Yeah,
I am so inconsistent, though.
Yeah.
It almost makes my efforts obsolete.
Yeah,
and
you got to be consistent so people know when to get a hold of you and stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's the big one right now.
Definitely achievable. I'm excited because it's going to happen.
Yeah, and it might happen in the next couple of weeks. We got everything kind of prepped up and all, so we got to do a dry run, see if it works.
I'm very excited about that, too, because honestly, I've never seen a more good-looking set of gamers.
I'm going to have to actually do my hair, though, if we end up doing that.
Well, and I say that, you know, I say that for each and every one of us, myself included.
Yeah,
I think we're not too shabby, and and I think, you know, on camera, we would present as a very... visually and audio and what's
auditorily
another word? Auditorially appealing podcast crew. So I'm glad to be a part of this.
Yeah,
thanks for finding me.
Yeah, this was awesome. Any other questions?
No, you know what? Honestly, you answered the lump sum of what I wanted to know. I think what I appreciate about this interview is that it did go a lot in depth into, I guess, the more. Just the more beyond just the concept conversations alone. This has been a great interview.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm glad that we were sitting one on one.
Yeah, this
and,
is cool.
And getting to know you guys better bit by bit. I think that.
So now that you've done all three, what'd you think? Did you learn a lot?
I learned so much, and I continue to learn even more so showing up to these podcasts. I feel like. I feel like if there's anything that would enthuse me out of the week, other than, of course, the new Game of Thrones coming out every single Sunday, it's this podcast. And it keeps me motivated. It keeps me enthused. And I hope everyone that's listening, you know, jumps on that bandwagon too and knows that if you like it now, it's only going to get better.
Yeah.
And if you stick along with us, it's going to be something that you're going to be glad to have been involved in at whatever stage you decided to join on board.
For
and that's
sure.
And I'm excited that, you know, regardless of how much or how little I'm committed now, at least I can say I'm on board the hype train.
Yeah.
So the DL hype
Jump
train.
Jump on the train.
And no, thank you so much, Chad, for spending a couple extra moments with me so I can get to know you and the crew. That's the final interview for DLGaming.net for now. And I'm excited to do so much more with you guys in the future.